If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Hola, amigos y amigas. Let me introduce the King of Mexico.
Damn, is it Christmas already that we need sweaters and it's winter time? So anyways.
Now, Dave and I worked together at K-Rock, a radio station here, many years ago. And at the time Dave started, he was a phone screener. And what do you do now there at the station, Dave?
Now I'm a screener for the phones.
You're a phone screener. Yeah. You're still a phone screener there. It's 10 years of saying you're caller number 6, you're caller number 7. But it's all paid off now with this amazing world record. Why are you doing this, Dave?
Because Kevin and Bean told me to.
Anyway, this is Super Dave on the All Show on 88.9. Radio Free Pasadena. And before, so anyways, coming up, we got some Pennywise and some Beastie Boys, but first these commercials.
Did somebody order Mexican
orange?
And now,
is that guy sleeping right there?
Well, I think he's just taking a little nap.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:31 and it is the first of Dodgevember. Did you guys see that commercial?
No.
The first of Dodgevember.
A little bit of a disappointment, to be honest.
They're not even trying, right? Dodgevember. Because they're going to sell a lot of Dodges. That's what they say.
Wow.
So it's the first of Dodgevember.
Well, if they
sexy,
say so,
right?
Can't argue, yeah, right?
That's sexy. That's got everything.
Sure.
Actually, it's the it's first of Blovember.
Now, Kevin, do we have to hear your story again about how that image is burned into your brain for life?
I wasn't planning on telling it, but I would be more than happy to. Cindy Crawford doing a Christmas thing, sucking on a candy cane in our studio. And I was thinking, my mind just dismisses stuff on a daily basis. This I want to make sure and catalog. I want to have access to it at every moment of every day. And I just sat there
terrified
going,
how you use it.
Please don't forget. Please don't forget. Please don't forget. Oh, look at that. Oh, please don't forget. And I still, to this day, can picture every second.
Excellent.
Yes.
She was something else, and I fell more deeply in love with her than ever before when the first thing she did within 5 seconds of arriving at K-Rock was make fun of Kevin's dyed hair.
Yeah, I think it was a bad haircut, too. I'm not sure. I fell asleep the day before in the chair, and it was all cut all wacky.
Yeah.
And she said, she didn't say hi or anything. She just said, hey, what's with the hair?
Which is what many people think,
yeah.
But she had the balls to say it.
But you say.
I applaud that, so... Psycho Mike, you got to be exhausted. Big night in West Hollywood last night for the Halloween parade,
oh,
I imagine?
Oh, my God. I walked from Doheny to La Cienega back and forth on Santa Monica Boulevard like 50 times.
And when you say walk, you mean shimmy.
I mean lube and poppers.
Sashayed.
Yes.
Right. You went as a Chippendales dancer again this year?
No, today I went as a rugged sailor.
Oh, nice.
Oh, congratulations.
Nice change up.
Yeah.
I like that.
Is there such a thing?
Saw a lot of your friends.
I was thinking about this last night, by the way. It's funny you brought this up. How did the guy in the Village People get away with just being the gay biker? Like, the other guys at least have some role. Like, there's the sailor, the construction worker, the Indian, the mm-hmm. policeman. These are all guys who do something. They have some role. He's just a gay biker. Isn't that pandering at that point? Like,
he likes to ride motorcycles.
But, I mean, like, the other guys have, like, jobs and occupations, and they serve some purpose.
The Indian?
An Indian's an Indian.
What's
chief.
His job?
He's a chief. He's a badass chief.
How do you know he's a badass chief?
Dude, he's got that headdress, like that madman headdress. He's not like some weak little, like, just beginning out Indian. He's like, I've been in this game for years Indian.
How much time do you spend thinking about the Village People and their various roles?
I'm just thinking that guy got off easy. If I'm in joining the Village People, like, the gay biker, that's the cool gig.
Well, you understand that the cop isn't actually a cop, right?
No, but that's my point, is that all the rest of them have costumes of people who do stuff. A gay biker is a guy who is gay.
The construction worker, really, all he has to do is wear his jeans and put on a hard hat. How hard is that?
No, but don't you think don't you think the gay biker should have been a fireman? Or, I mean, he's just not playing fair. That's what I'm saying.
Maybe the gay biker, Mike, and I can't believe we're having this conversation.
No, this is good.
Maybe he's the manager at the YMCA.
It's fun to stay at the YMCA. It's fun to stay at the YMCA.
Ever think about that?
Good call.
Did you injure yourself with that stretch?
Or maybe, hey, that wasn't a stretch. That fit right in.
No,
we're talking about the goddamn Village People. Or maybe he doesn't need a job. Maybe he's happy just being a macho man.
Hey, 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 hey. Macho, macho, macho man, yeah.
Let me try.
Okay, but be careful where you're going with this one.
Hey, isn't that guy in the Navy?
He can't be in the Navy. The sailor is in the Navy, Kevin. Shoot. Obviously, the biker can't be in the Navy.
Well, you can't play.
Damn it.
You can't play. You don't understand the game.
Sorry.
All right. So good times at the Halloween parade in West Hollywood. I know I knew Mike would be out there, and I was eager for the update.
Were you out there yelling at the kids, too, last night?
I was.
checking zip codes. You were busy last night.
Yeah. I actually went to another neighborhood this time.
You did just because?
Did you?
I just thought.
Should have gone to Mike's house.
That's a great idea. Oh, that would have been good. And just keep going back and back and back and back.
It would
have been awesome if you showed up at his house.
As I stood out in front of my parents' house, and which was now Times Square because of all the people being shipped in, I'm so curious. If little dirty Mexican kids want candy so badly, why are they always trying to resell it to me every time I go down to Mexico to buy drugs?
You see them selling your own stuff?
Yeah, like...
Hey, I gave that to you on Halloween.
Obviously have a ton of candy. You're trying to give me chicle and disgusting sugar candy every time I go to Mexico.
No. But
I
they're
think
giving
you... discovered the root of the candy.
Yeah, exactly. They're giving you chicle. They're not giving you Snickers back.
Yeah, those are in their belly. Those are in their belly.
Yeah.
That's how they resupply.
It's Halloween. The bad stuff. Every Halloween, they're restocked and they're ready to go out and sell some more.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
Aight.
Not sure you can pull off aight. Slash is going to be on the program today.
Oh, that's cool.
How about that?
He's got a new book. Let me see if I can get this entire name correctly. Slash is the name of the book.
Oh, that's it?
Yes, that's the whole book.
Okay. Well, that'll be easy to remember. What's that book, you guys, that Slash has?
Yeah, exactly.
Here come the emails.
We're going to email dean@krock.com.
Let me tell you why Slash is awesome. This last Saturday, I did a Guitar Hero 3 release party I hosted for K-Rock, and Slash was going to be there signing autographs of his book and of the game. You know, most celebrities, especially guys of his stature, they will do the, like, I'll go through the back entrance or I'll have a special car drop me off.
Right.
There's 1,000 kids waiting in line to buy this game. Slash pulls up in a limo right in front of these kids. Just throws his arms up. He's like, what's up? Crowd goes nuts.
That's great. He embraces it.
Yes, he does. Also on the program today, we got LaQuisha talking about A Shot at Love with Tila Tequila.
Excellent.
I'm so excited, having not had time to watch that show, that LaQuisha is going to give us the highlights.
Same
because,
here.
Saves you the time. Also on the show today, we have a former cop. I guess he was in the Vice Squad in Texas, and he was busting people for drug charges.
Right. He'd pull them over. He had a dog in his car, and he'd pull them over, and he was great at it.
He was great at it. Good enough that he would go around and actually train police how to do this. And he's got a new website called NeverGetBusted.com, and he's going to show you how to not get busted with drugs.
Well, that seems counterintuitive to his mission, which is to bust you with drugs.
That's
I'm not
his mission
sure that's
anymore.
His mission anymore, is the thing.
Why is he now in the Navy?
Oh, that hurts.
So, how does that work?
Why would he be so good at busting people, obviously having a passion and an interest in that, and then say, screw it, I'm going to turn my back on the law enforcement side of it and help out the drug users.
Well, I guess that's I know a question to ask him.
You do?
Yeah. But I'm sure he'll tell you more. But he moved to another part of Texas and ended up busting a couple of people
that
were like the son of someone who was in the government and then somebody else who was in, I don't know, local government. And then they kind of turned against him and made his life miserable, and so he quit.
So he got frustrated with the unequal prosecution of the offenders.
Yes.
Gotcha.
So now he's giving everyone a fair chance.
All right.
Right. And that's not to say that it's good. It's okay. We're not saying that.
We don't want you to be in jail either.
Don't get busted. That's what we're saying, pretty much.
Keep your record clean.
Keep your record clean.
Yeah.
Like you would if you were blinded with science.
I don't even understand that.
Damn it. We're going to talk about lying about being a celebrity, because there was a dude who called in and said that somebody was pretending to be Dave the King of Mexico while hitting on chicks
at an Oktoberfest.
Oh. It was at an Oktoberfest, yeah.
How does that go, by the way? Oh, check me out. Minimum wage 10 years now. I mean, what's the line that you're using?
I can get you tickets?
I don't know. I mean, maybe he looked like Dave. I don't know what the guy looked like, but it does seem like if you're going to try and act like you're a celebrity, you'd pick one.
A real celebrity?
Right.
Yeah.
But if you didn't look like one, Dave's a good choice because a lot of people don't know what Dave looks like.
Right, but I'm saying you would pick a celebrity. That's what I'm saying. I'm not sure Dave's a celebrity.
So you'd have to pick a celebrity nobody knows what they look like?
Well, it has to be recognizable as a celebrity, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you can't say some obscure person and then say, oh, I'm a celebrity. No, you're not. You're being Dave.
That's a pretty narrow sample, though, someone who's a celebrity and someone that nobody knows what he looks like.
Easy to do. You know what you do is you say, if I'm Dave, if I'm the guy trying to be Dave, I say, yeah, I'm in Cypress Hill. You know, you pick a band or something that has like five or six people in it, and you recognize a couple, but you can get away with that if you know anything about them.
Oh, that's
you could
true.
Say, I'm Amadeus.
No.
Come on.
No.
How come I can't play?
Come on. Back me up here, Lisa.
Band.
No, right?
I'm tired
of this.
Stop
I'm tired
it.
Of this BS.
This is not
Kevin,
your name.
God damn it.
We're going to tell you what country has the sluttiest girls on today's show, and we're going to call and find out.
Or move them here.
Yeah.
What a sucker Kevin is.
All right,
exactly.
Come
thank you, Ralph.
Now. Let's not get crazy here. And speaking of the King of Mexico, we do have to try to correct his English because there are a lot of sounds he can't make. It's really bizarre. Like any you know, word with an L in it, he's out.
Well, English is a second language. It's totally understandable.
That's the funny part is he doesn't speak Spanish.
So English is his first language?
First and only. Yes. And he has more of an accent than most people who do speak Spanish.
He sure does.
So we need to try and correct that.
Hey, Kevin.
Yes?
If the season ended today, you'd be a fag.
Wow. Ouch. Ouch.
That doesn't seem very nice. The Kevin and Bean players are back today on the program. We'll tell you why coming up. The Army, Navy, and Marines apparently inadvertently were advertising on a gay website.
Oh, nice.
Which cracks us up because, you know, don't ask, don't tell.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not looking for gay people.
Or are they?
Or are they is a good question. So we'll get to all that this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We got Ralph Showbiz Beat coming up.
Ralph Garman, how are you, man?
Oh, spectacular, Bean.
Good deal.
You know, it's great because usually after a day of work here at the Kevin and Bean Show, on the ride home, I think to myself, well, you know what? It's good. I've finally hit bottom, and I can't be any more embarrassed to be part of this show than I was today, and I feel good. I feel like that's it. I've bottomed out, and that won't happen.
And then it doesn't.
And then, you know, I listen to Village People talk for, 10, 15 minutes at the beginning of a show. But, and I go, oh, how can that be? Now I'm more embarrassed than I was yesterday.
But the biker didn't have a job, is Mike's point.
As Mike's concerned for 20 minutes.
I know.
He spends a lot of time worrying about the Village People is what we learned today.
I think Mike needs to go back to the smack. That's what I think.
Yeah.
He's got too much free time. All that time he spent fixing, now it's spent on Village People instead.
Talking to us. Yeah.
I was so much cooler.
I bet.
When I was drinking.
Oh, no question.
Sure.
I
bet.
Cool guy.
I'm sure. You and I could go out and have some shots and be like men. Now you're all Village People. Dude, think about it. Ask your therapist. I mean, I might be off base here, but ask your therapist if it isn't a good idea for you to start drinking and doing drugs again.
I'd be cooler. That's not open for debate.
And look, when you think about it, what's the most important thing in life? Yep. Being cool.
That's true. Being cool.
Sure. That's the message I want the kids to take away from the show this morning.
It's hard to argue
excellent,
with.
Excellent
do
advice.
Whatever makes you cool, regardless of the negative side effects to your personal health or to your life in general.
Don't you want to be cool?
Just be cool.
So you break a law, steal a car, for instance.
Is it cool?
Yeah, you go to jail, but you're cool,
that's
right?
That's cool.
Right.
Okay. Just cool.
Got it.
You know what's not cool?
What?
Calling your son's girlfriend the N-word.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What?
With this, by the way.
Who
yesterday,
did that?
The story broke that Dwayne the Dog Chapman, legendary Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Yeah.
Someone obtained the audio of a phone call between himself and his son, Tucker. And Dwayne was going off on his Tucker's relationship with his girlfriend.
Yeah.
Saying that he shouldn't date her because then everyone will talk about how you're dating an N-word.
Ouch. Oh,
why are you dating an N-word?
God.
Why are you hooked up with an N-word?
What is wrong with people?
N-word, N-word, N-word.
Well, what year is this again, Ralph?
Yeah, I know.
Where did they live?
Hawaii.
Hawaii.
I think they live on. think they live on Clan Island, I'm pretty sure. It's like a small island off the big one there in the chain of Hawaiian islands.
What the hell?
Yeah, somehow someone obtained the audio of the call, and then the National Enquirer got a hold of it, and they broke the story yesterday.
How would someone get a hold of that call unless it was one of those two?
I don't know. Here's the thing. They asked Dwayne the Dog Chapman how he felt about it, and he is not responding. However, he did talk to his pastor. He's speaking through his pastor.
Okay.
And his pastor said he is very sorry and very repentant. And he said, Pastor, can you believe it? Now they're going to lump me in with Don Imus.
I'm sorry I did that. I'm embarrassed that I did that. I did a bad thing.
To which I say, no, they won't, dog, because Don Imus made a bad joke about nappy-headed hoes.
Yes.
You called the girl the N-word.
Yeah,
they're not going to lump you in with Imus.
No, you're the real thing,
yeah,
my friend.
They're going to lump you with the Grand Wizard. You douche.
Two questions on this story. One is his minister black?
Yes.
Oh, okay, that helps. That helps.
Convenient.
And two is, is it A&E? Is that who he works for? What are they saying about all this? I can't imagine they're pleased.
Civil rights leaders protested to A&E almost immediately, asking them to dump the show. And this morning, the New York Times has reported the cable channel has suspended production on the series indefinitely.
Wow.
So there you go, Dog the Bounty Hunter fans.
That really is, I don't know how you get a hold of a private cell phone conversation, though.
I don't either.
It's not a message that was left on his machine or anything.
Maybe it's one of those deals where, like, the machine picked up and they didn't know it, so they were talking. It was recording.
But maybe the son taped the conversation.
Maybe the son did.
He's just all pissed off at his dad.
Maybe he did.
He said, how can I cheese off my father in the worst possible way? Oh, he cares about his reputation. Let me just take him down.
We have to talk to Dwan about this. He's going to have the most interesting perspective, being a black guy who is the biggest Dog the Bounty Hunter fan in the world.
That's a good point.
Excellent point.
If someone can explain to him exactly what's going on, then maybe we can get his take on it.
And how a phone works
in
a radio.
Minute. Dog is an N-word? No, Dwan.
What are you talking about?
Britney Spears has cheesed off some people as well.
What a surprise.
Apparently, inside her new CD, Blackout, there's a controversial photograph of Britney posing seductively in the lap of an attractive young priest. Guess who's upset?
Catholics?
Good guess. The head of the Catholic League, Bill Donahue, calls it a bottom-of-the-barrel stunt from a girl who is crashing and not even allowed to bring up her own children because she's not responsible enough. Oh, no, you didn't!
Wow.
Wow.
Right for the jugular.
Yeah. Remember that whole turn-the-other-cheek thing that Jesus talked about? Not so much anymore.
Dog Bounty Hunter is upset. The album's called Blackout.
Oh, no, you didn't! Just keeps getting better.
Heather, that's tight.
Heather Mills is upset, too.
Why?
She is tired of being portrayed as a villain in the media.
F her.
No, that's not a joke, really. She broke down on a British morning talk show yesterday called GMTV, saying that she's received death threats, has considered suicide, and in the press she claims she's being treated worse than a pedophile or a murderer. No, that's not a joke either.
Yeah, that's happening.
She said all she's been doing for 20 years is charity work, and now she is getting this sort of treatment in the media.
Yeah.
Well,
couldn't
if that statement were
$150 million.
Yeah, if that statement were true, she wouldn't be getting this treatment in the media.
Yeah. And don't be a money-grubbing whore, I guess,
right.
Is part of it. If she had settled this quietly with her future ex-husband without lawyers and without demanding insane amounts of money and just walked away from the marriage if she wanted out so bad, no one would have thought twice about this.
Although if I walked away from the marriage, you mean...
Limped away from the marriage? Hopped away from the marriage?
Although I would have, because I was at a charity event. And she was yelling at everyone there. She was a complete a-hole.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a foul person.
That doesn't help.
Show. Yeah. Don't be foul.
Don't be foul.
Be
don't
cool.
Be an a-hole.
Two things you learned today.
Correct.
Be cool. Don't be foul.
Right.
Okay.
Kim Kardashian says she received quite a bit of notoriety after a sex tape with Ray J and the provocative photographs that were taken of her as a teenager. But she says now she hopes to fix her reputation of being slutty
boobs
by posing for Playboy in the December issue.
Makes perfect sense.
Yes, it does. And if you ever watch that show, Keeping Up with the Kardashians, you can see how logical she is. Mm-hmm.
Fix her reputation by posing in Playboy.
Yes.
She wants to get paid for it now.
Ah.
Instead of slutty, she'll be considered whory.
Yes.
No, actually, she thinks the classy nature of Playboy and the photographs therein will elevate her sexuality to a more classy sexuality, less okay. slutty, more classy.
I'm fine with her chasing that dream.
She wants to be sassy,
right?
But classy is what she's saying.
I see.
Forgive me if this is a dumb question, but real or fake Kim Kardashian?
I think real.
I think real. I think real. Yeah. Given her proportions, I bet she's full figured on both ends.
Talking about her ass, right?
No. No. Oh. Spectacular.
Not
that's
talking good. About her boobs, but I can't see nipple. I want to say nipple.
Au naturel.
I like boobs.
That's how I like them. Swing low, sweet chariots.
Nope. Yeah. Nope. Go Creed. Nope.
Sometimes you hear stories about celebrities, and they make you hate them.
Yes.
Like, remember Jessica Simpson? Before she opened her mouth, we all looked at her and said, wow, she is just sure. a talented, hot chick. And then all the stuff came out, and now no one can stand her.
Right.
And then the converse happens. You hear a story about a dude or a girl and say, wow, I had no idea. I like that person a lot more now. I'd like to hang with them.
Mm-hmm.
That happened to me yesterday with Justin Timberlake.
Really?
Never been a Justin Timberlake fan. Always thought he was sort of a douche.
What changed yesterday?
In Touch magazine had photos of Justin Timberlake at the Green Bay Packers game in Wisconsin against the Bears.
Yeah.
And they caught a picture of Justin shotgunning a beer in the parking lot with a Packers fan.
No kidding.
Apparently the dude said, dude, come here, have a beer. And they just both punched holes in the cans and just opened them up and shotgunned a beer together. Come on. How cool is that, Justin Timberlake?
He's following your advice, which is to be cool.
That's
right.
Be cool. That's all I ask.
And don't be foul.
Don't be foul. Just be cool. And lastly, Lane Garrison. Familiar with the name?
Prison Break, right?
Former star of Prison Break, who had that horrible accident last December that killed a 17-year-old and wounded two 15-year-old young ladies, was sentenced yesterday for driving under the influence and for the resulting death. Sentenced to 3 years and 4 months in a state facility. Experts say with time served and good behavior, he could be out in as little as 20 months. He's also been ordered to pay $300,000 in restitution to the families.
If Mike knew he could kill a chick and only do 20 months, he'd do it.
That's for sure.
Unfortunately.
Chicks? Yeah.
Dominate her.
Yeah.
And good news for Daniel Craig fans. Apparently, the 007 star has made a deal to do three more James Bond films. Reportedly at a salary of $20 million per film.
Wow, he's already up to that.
He's already making $20 million.
Wow.
I think that's why Pierce Brosnan punched the photographer yesterday. Because he heard the news.
He heard
he's like, God, here, F off, mate. Punch.
Wasn't his Daniel Craig's Casino Royale, wasn't it the biggest box office Bond ever, Ralph?
No, it was the biggest Bond ever.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Oh.
Just being contrary. absolutely being, yes, it was the biggest moneymaker, so... If you're going to make $100 million on a motion picture, not a bad investment to throw the guy a 20 spot. You know
yeah,
what I'm saying?
Right.
Just throw him that. Just give him one of those.
Can you throw $20,000 like $20
chips.
Million?
In Hollywood, they got chips.
Yeah.
It's like a $20 million chip. You just throw it to him, you go to the cashier's cage, you cash it in.
All right.
It's nice. Today's celebrity birthdays, my good friend Larry Flint.
Oh.
Publisher of the Hustler Empire. Not to mention Barely Legal and Busty Beauties.
Sure.
And Jail Babes.
Jail Babes, right.
Yeah. The guy's got an empire of porn. I want an empire of porn. How do you do that? How do you craft yourself an empire of porn?
I'm not sure.
You know what I have an empire of? Batman toys.
Yes,
yeah,
that's
my empire.
You need to see your own advice.
I sit in a room filled with Batman toys.
You need to seek your own advice on being cool.
And nothing really comes from it so much. Not a lot of naked chicks around the Batman room.
Nope.
Yeah, very odd. He's 63 years old today. Mags Furlerman.
What?
You know Mags. He was the singer for A-ha. Remember that?
Take
on me, take me on.
He still makes the birthday list?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. All right.
Mags. His name's Mags.
His name is Mags.
He's 45 years old today. Toni Collette, very talented actress. I remember her, I guess, first I saw her in Muriel's Wedding, one of my favorite films.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
Been in The Sixth Sense and a bunch of other great movies since. A Little Miss Sunshine. She was in that as well. 35 years old today. Jenny McCarthy. Shut up. Just shut up. I know. Shut up. Shut up. She's 35 years old today. Anthony Kiedis,
what?
Singer for the Red Hot Chili Peppers, is 45 years old today. Anthony, how are you going to celebrate your birthday? What are you going to do?
Meatloaf, mustache, broccolini, faceplant.
Mm-hmm.
Wack-a-dang-da-hong, California.
Great. Sounds like a good time.
It does sound like a good day.
And Rick Allen.
Oh!
One-armed drummer for Def Leppard, baby.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I got in a car accident, lost an arm, still the drummer.
And every time I hear that song, it gives me a little pain right up here in my shoulder.
Does
it? You almost say it makes my arm loose. No, it doesn't fit.
No. Wow. Sorry.
Rick Allen is 44 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Turn that off right now. Off.
What?
Off.
What? It's not. Can't we?
Off.
What about
next year? Over.
Halloween,
over.
It's the saddest news I've ever heard. No more Halloween spooks till next October.
Over.
That hurts me. All right, it's 6:07 on the Kevin and Bean Show. This was a funny story, and I haven't yet heard how it happened, but somehow the United States military, as they always have running, is a campaign to try to get new people to sign up for the various branches of the service. They're always recruiting. That's part of what they do, and they advertise. You see the commercials on TV. You see them at the movie theater in front of a film, and they advertise online a lot, too. And I guess somehow, erroneously, they placed a bunch of ads looking for new soldiers, new sailors, new Marines on a website that only Mike would know about in this room called glee.com, G-L-E-E, which I guess stands for gays, lesbians, and everyone else, I think is what, what Glee actually stands for.
Here's what they did. They advertised on Monster.com, and Monster.com has a diversity and inclusion package. And I guess they just started up this Glee, you know, this year or something, and
The
Army was not aware of it. Of course, the Army and the Navy and the Marines, they have the don't ask, don't tell policy.
Right.
Uh-huh. So they got some ads put on there inadvertently, supposedly, and everybody's laughing about this because they're advertising for gays in a military that doesn't really accept gays.
So we thought rather than just speculate on it, we'd get somebody who is familiar with the story, and we've asked Lightning to line up for us a spokesperson, and we have Lieutenant Colonel Donald Pittman, who's on the line. He's actually a media spokesperson for the United States Army. Good morning, Lieutenant Colonel. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Very good. Okay. Thank you.
Very well. First of all, thank you for your service. I know it must be very difficult for you in the as the recruiting
what?
Branch of
what
the
Army. What are you saying? What?
I'm saying it must be very difficult to recruit these days. So many people must be worried about going into the service at a time of war.
It's not a problem recruiting, actually. We're just out. We've recruited everyone. There's nobody left, really, that would be interested that we can recruit.
Oh,
we're out of people.
Okay. So that's why you spend as much money as you do to try to get the word out that the service is an outstanding career for a young man or woman.
Absolutely. And I think it's important to, I'd like to take an opportunity now to reinforce that fact and tell people that it is an excellent opportunity. Mm-hmm. We do provide, guns.
Right.
Helmets.
Uh-huh.
Get to see the world.
A certain part of the world?
It's the sandy part.
In particular.
the odds of getting killed are, you know, fair.
Fair? That's not much of a selling
fair
point.
Fair to Midland, as we say in the Army.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. But what about all of the educational opportunities? There's a lot of people go into the Army because they can get a college education out of it if they can't afford to pay to go to school.
That's true. You can wheel your way to college. Get in a chair and have somebody push you into class. That's what we're hoping for.
Wow. Very good ad. Really.
Yeah, you're not much of a spokesman.
Hey, look, I got to be honest.
Yeah. And a lot of people also go in because it gives them training in areas. Say they're interested in working on airplanes or something like that.
That's right.
You know, you go into the Navy, you get a good, the Air Force or something, get a good chance to work on some of that
stuff. That's right. We can teach you how to get sand out of anything. Out of an engine, out of a canteen, out of your crack.
Wow.
It's a lot of good sand training. If you're thinking of working near a beach when you get out, This is the service for you, absolutely.
Now, Lieutenant Colonel, tell us about this this gay website that you were advertising on, glee.com.
Now look and listen.
Yes.
Okay.
Glee.com is a website that stands for gay, lesbian, and everyone else.
Right.
We were shooting for the everyone else. Okay. We didn't really want to target the gay and lesbian so much. We were hoping the everyone else might be paying attention.
Yeah, right. But what I think they mean by everyone else is probably, you know, transgenders, for instance. I think that's what they mean.
We could use a man like you in the service. Are you interested? Because no one pointed that out to me beforehand. And I wish there had been a gentleman like you working at the desk next to me and said, yo, Don, I think everyone else means, you know, people who, you know, have all kinds of junk hanging between their legs.
Right. Well, I appreciate the opportunity, Lieutenant Colonel, but you have not made it sound like the career path I'm interested in jumping on.
I sit in an office. I'm good. I'm safe. We can get you one of those jobs.
Okay.
Sometimes you get a paper cut. That's about as bad as it gets.
Wow. All right.
So what happens if the campaign, if the ads that you're running on Glee.com, what happens if it's successful and you've got a guy who otherwise would, in your eyes, be a tremendous candidate, an asset to the military, but he happens to be gay? What do you do with that person?
We asked him to butch it up.
Butch it up.
Yeah, just don't be around. Just don't flaunt it. You know,
yeah.
Don't be talking about the village people and what the biker was doing
right
for a living.
Sure, yeah, that would get old quick.
And when we're showering together, you know, help a fellow out.
What do you mean, really? Help a?
I mean, stay away from me.
What do you mean, help a fellow out?
Stay away from me.
Right, that's not what you said at all, though.
Stay away from me, unless there's nobody looking.
What?
I'm sorry. Did you add something to that, Lieutenant Colonel? I thought I heard you say something after stay away from me.
I should not drink this early in the morning. I wonder if the monster.com has a singularity and exclusion package where we can just, you know, find some people who, you know, are just nutloafs looking to kill people.
That's what you want, really?
Yeah.
Rather than their diversity and inclusion package?
Yeah, we want the singularity and exclusion package. We're going to find, you know, angry people, people with an axe to grind.
Yeah.
People don't mind sand. There's a glee.com. Can't there be a hate.com someplace?
Maybe you should start
one. Get on that. Hate.com.
Maybe you should start one for the military.
Not a bad idea.
Yeah.
All this gay talk, I'm sporting wood. I can't understand it.
I'm sorry?
Look at my pants. I'm just looking at my pants here, and I got an army evac tent right now going on.
Right. This is not appropriate at all.
It's all I can't understand it.
You advertised
little
on that.
Little soldier saluting, and it doesn't make any sense to me.
You advertised on that site on purpose, didn't you, sir?
Well, here's the thing. I was doing some research on the internet.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I happened to stumble across Glee.
Stumble sure. across it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And And the next thing you know, I punched a couple buttons, and all our ads showed up there.
Well,
yeah, my hands were slippery.
Oh,
okay.
All right. I don't think you know we need any more of those details. You don't.
Oh, Jesus!
What was that?
My pants just went off.
Right now, the Kevin and Bean Afro line on the air for you at 323-520-AFRO. Call us, leave a message on any topic. We play it back on the radio.
It's time for the Afro line. Afro line, call the Afro line. Call the
Afro
line. It's time for the
Afro line. I like how people sneak in messages at the end. It doesn't have anything to do with the message. I'm going to go ahead and take credit for this. I'm going to say that this was the plan. I'm going to say that we're very witty and we thought this out ahead of time and it went according to plan.
I hear a story about Dave Copperfield and then I hear Date Rape by Sublime. This is why I listen to the Kevin and Bean Show.
So okay. Clever of us.
Wasn't it?
Right?
Oh, we were so happy with that. Yesterday we were talking about the best candy. We had the great candy debate. And it turns out that the decider, Kevin Smith, told us that it was Snickers.
Mm-hmm.
That was number one.
Okay, I'm listening to you guys bitch about candies. You know what the best candy is? Chocolate rain. That is the best. Chocolate rain.
I never thought of that.
If it would rain chocolate, I think that would be the best.
Yes.
We haven't made a formal announcement yet, but...
By the way, Nougat and Nuts are playing this year's K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas.
Lisa was talking about how all of her friends are walking for something, and she is unable to tell people no, so she's like having to scratch out checks every day. She just can't choose between what's an important charity, say a friend of hers walking for, say, cancer, or the woofs up in Alaska or wherever the hell they are getting beat up. So
yes.
This guy has a little help for you, Lisa.
Hey, Lisa May, you know, I'm feeling kind of sorry for you, so maybe you might like to receive a donation from me, you know? Know what I'm saying? Don't talk about it? Know what I'm saying? All right? I want to talk about this. Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Nice.
This chick does not know whether or not to be insulted by this next.
Okay, so a guy just said something to me that gave me goosebumps. What he said to me was, Dave, can you turn up the volume on that porno? I want to hear some of that dialogue.
Yeah.
You got to run from that dude.
Or he's trying to avoid you, one or the other. Yesterday, Psycho Mike was talking about how he hates when the kids get bussed in from other neighborhoods to his parents' neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And he was screening for zip codes. He was asking the kids what zip code they were from. If they gave him the wrong zip code, no candy for them.
Hey, Psycho Mike, you douchebag. Shut the hell up, you f***ing creep mother f***.
Yeah.
I hate your s***. I'm not up for it today, you asshole.
Wow.
Dude.
Someone's having a bad day.
We don't even hear from your wife that often. That's weird.
I
Yeah.
Psycho Mike. Hate.
By the way, join the crowd. You know? Yeah.
Get on board. Where you been?
Hate.
I think she's undecided.
I believe this call came in after the crane was stuck on the 405.
Yes.
Okay.
And it was pretty much closed for most of the day. Did not make all K-Rock listeners happy.
Dude, the 405 sucks. What the wrong with this piece of anyway? Dude, I need a monster truck so I can run the over all these cars and get home and actually have time for once. This sucks. At least I'm
By the way, that's a guy who needs to explore moving to Wyoming, Colorado, Montana, someplace where he can, you know, decompress a little bit with the traffic.
He is going to go off any day.
It's a little scary.
No question about that. 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours.
If you like Angelina Jolie, by the way, like we do, then stick around. Ralph Duren this morning show is going to have red carpet tickets to the new Angie movie called Beowulf.
I think it's Beowulf.
Beowulf, as Dave the King of Mexico calls it. Beowulf.
Beowulf.
So anyway, that's coming up on this morning show. First, though, got some good news if you've got a vacation coming up and you're looking to do some traveling.
Yeah, Durex Condoms did a survey about how many partners women had around the world.
Uh-huh.
They surveyed 26,000 people in 26 countries. Now, the average, the global average was 7.3. That's total sexual
lifetime.
Partners.
Okay.
In your whole life.
Yes.
That's spring break for a super whore. I mean, come on, 7.3, that seems awfully low for your whole life, doesn't it?
That was the global average. New Zealand.
Lisa, you hit that by 16,
oh
right?
Oh, my God. It's laughable.
Yeah.
New Zealand women have an average of 20.4.
Okay. Yay! Now we're in the ballpark.
7.3, global average. New Zealand, 20.4.
Wow.
That is a shocking disparity.
Yeah.
Do we
have
it is, right?
Any idea where, how does the United States rank? Do we have, a readout or anything?
No, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say where the United States is. They're also unusual because it's the only country where women have more sexual partners than men.
No kidding.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Kiwis.
They did more details were the youngest to lose their virginity. And New Zealand was very close. Austrians were first at 17.3 years.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And then there's Brazilian 17.4, German 17.6, New Zealanders 17.8.
They're right in there.
So they're right up there.
Yeah.
So the New Zealand chicks, early and often, is how they're doing it.
That's, yes, exactly.
That's it. Now, let me ask you guys this, because I don't know very much about New Zealand. It's, you know, like many people, it's one of those countries on the list of places I'd love to visit, and now more than ever. Now that I've heard this news from you, Kevin, believe me, I'm thinking of Christmas this year.
No one's going to close that better than you.
But is it possible that it's not that they have more sex, it's just that they're more honest about answering survey questions than other women
could
around
be.
The world who may not want to say, oh, yeah, I'm into the 20s.
It could be. That's why I was guessing that the global average was so low, because there are probably places where they're taught, you know, whatever,
sure.
Don't talk about it or whatever, so that throws off the curve.
Sure.
So the global average is just above 7, New Zealand women above 20,
yes.
And New Zealand women are having more sex than New Zealand men.
And here's the important thing. New Zealanders, about 40% are happy with their sex lives, so they keep changing because it's not satisfying.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, okay.
So they're more driven, sex, but less happy.
They're driven to drive this number up, people.
Fantastic.
So let's call.
Right.
Let's call and find out. We like to do this every once in a while. You want to call a strip club or a hotel? It's about 2:38 in the morning there.
Let's call the strip club. Let's start with them. What do they call? What do they call a strip club in New Zealand?
Licks.
Nice.
By the way, if you are a woman from New Zealand, I'd like to hear from you, too. While we're dialing out, you dial in 1-800-520-1067. Maybe you've got something to say about this Durex condom survey.
This is in Wellington, Licks Strip Bar.
Okay.
All right. Fantastic. I'm going to put that on my list, by the way, of places to visit when I go down there.
Hello, Licks.
Hi, this is Licks Strip Bar?
Yes, it sure is.
Hey there, is Michelle there, please?
Hold on, I'll just pass you through to...
Thank you.
Okay. Wow, she's not on the poll currently.
I don't want to talk to that guy.
No,
not about this topic.
I just found out she's gone, mate. She spent half an hour ago.
She left a half hour ago.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Is there anyone female there? Sir, is there a female there? Any female?
No, you can ring Andrew Lindsay.
Anytime.
Anytime after 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon.
Okay.
Kevin, I think you have to talk to this
all
guy.
All right, let's ask you. We're calling from America, and first of all, I understand it's the middle of the night there. How are things going at Licks tonight?
The number is 476-9790, if you're not Andrew.
Okay. Could we talk to you for just 1 minute, sir?
Pardon?
I said, can we talk to you for just 1 minute? Okay. All right. Thank you for your time. See you later.
No, that went well. Come here. Let's
my
dial
God,
the hotel.
He speaks English, and we couldn't make this work.
We'd do better calling Japan and getting a guy with almost no English skills.
That doesn't prove anything.
No, this isn't fair. That wasn't our fault, Ralph.
That
wasn't our fault.
I think it was.
Damn it. That doesn't prove anything.
No, it is your fault. Making the effing phone call. That is your fault. Every goddamn time there's a story in the news with some foreign country doing something hilarious, you get out the phone book and start randomly calling places in that country, and
hilarity ensues.
It always blows.
You're just being negative, dude.
No, I'm being historical.
What I think is funny is that I couldn't agree with Ralph more, yet still always vote to call and try it again, because I always feel like Lucy with the football, this is going to be the time that they're not going to pull it out from under us.
Busy signal twice.
All right, see?
Try one of those.
Wait, we're going to say listen. Dial's turning all over Southern California.
We're going to turn it around right now.
I wonder what Big Boy's doing right now. These efforts are making goddamn international phone calls again.
But, Ralph, how could you, of all people, not be interested in 20-plus women per New Zealand chick? I mean, that's huge news.
I am very interested in that. What I'm not interested in is your failed attempt to call people in New Zealand.
Hey, we got a guy in New Zealand. That was mission accomplished.
Yeah, and that was scintillating conversation.
Hello?
For a hotel guest,
press 2.
All right, let's press...
One. Press 3.
You got to
do
it.
For a member of the management team,
just hit one.
Press 7.
If you want to talk about slutty girls, press 7.
Instructions. Please press.
Would it button or something?
Would it kill you to do
this
10
is going
minutes
well.
Of preparation yesterday and line somebody up? That's all I'm saying.
For the restaurant, please hold while I transfer you to...
There we go. This is going to be gold right here, Ralph, and you're going to have to eat your words.
I guarantee you it's going to be...
You're going to have to eat your words.
The only gold will be the corn in the poop. That's the only gold that will be seen.
We have Geneva from calling from Westwood, who was born and raised in New Zealand.
Oh,
that's
good.
Our back.
That's a start.
Let's not talk to her.
That's
she might actually have something to say. Let's wait online for the restaurant to pick up.
We'd like to make a reservation.
At 3 o'clock in the morning.
Ralph, I don't think...
Yeah, never mind.
You don't think. That's the problem. You just keep doing this bit, and it's like it's an automatic reflex. You can't help yourself.
We good like calling...
Go, Kevin.
Start, go.
Go, it's going to be magic.
Hey, hello? Oh, come on.
Yes.
Come on.
He won't talk to a guy. That's part of the problem. We had a guy on the phone at a strip club, and he wouldn't talk to him.
You know how you get around that, Lisa?
Right.
You set up a girl to talk to. Yeah.
We
a phone call,
we did,
and you talk to somebody.
We did set up a girl to talk to.
Uh-huh.
She wasn't there.
Luckily,
but
we got a phone number.
When did she leave? Half an hour before you call. Maybe during the setup conversation, you say,
maybe you should
hey,
be yelling at people in the office in there that gave
how
us that info.
How long you going to be there?
Let's talk to Geneva.
Hey, Geneva.
Hello.
Hello, Geneva.
Hi, Geneva.
Please help these poor bastards out.
How do you think this is going so well? Good?
Painful, actually.
All right. I want some credentials on you. First of all, Geneva, awesome, awesome name. But second of all, how Kiwi are you?
Born and raised. And then moved out here for a... A doctoral research scholarship. So.
Me too.
Smart.
And how long have you been in the United States?
About a year and a half.
Oh, right. Fantastic.
And
fresh
how many
off
guys,
the boat here.
How many guys have you banged while you've been here?
Unfortunately, two.
Just two?
Oh, you're bringing the average down.
That's why they threw you out of the country.
Yeah.
Why do New Zealanders have so much sex?
I was telling the girl earlier that we just have a common saying that's like, it doesn't matter where you get your appetite as long as you go home for dinner.
That's fantastic. We're just
beautiful people, I think. I mean, Maori people, they're just very exotic looking. And, you know, you've got your dark skin usually and your light eyes. And it's pretty tasty, don't you?
Yes.
Absolutely. So how old were you, if you don't mind me asking, Geneva, when you lost your virginity? This survey suggests that the average woman in New Zealand is, you know, before her 18th birthday. How old were you?
I was about just before I turned 18.
There you go, right on.
So you're right on the average, okay? And how many? I mean, how close are you to this 20.4 sexual partners per New Zealand woman?
I'm not quite there. I'm about like 18. But
yeah, but she has it's a lifetime average.
So. Yeah, she's young. She's young.
She's got time.
Exactly. I'm 30, so I'm working on it.
All right. Well, good luck with that.
Fantastic. You're awesome, and I love you very deeply.
Thank you for talking to us from New Zealand.
No, from Westwood. That's where she's calling from, Kevin.
Good luck today in your country.
We appreciate you picking up the phone when we called randomly.
What?
Never mind.
Guys who claim they are a celebrity that they aren't to get chicks. That's coming up in the 7 o'clock hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show on the World Famous Carrick. We're going to be looking for your stories, looking for your calls. Already getting some great emails. You can't believe some of the people that people pretend to be
to
get laid.
Well, that's the point.
How does it work?
Who are you claiming to be? You got to pick someone that's kind of cool, right? Or else why would you do it?
But, you know, any fame raises your chances considerably. I mean, the least bit of fame.
Sure.
It gives you a considerable
heads up.
Well,
we have an example of the least bit of fame.
I tell people I hosted the Joe Schmo show. That's how I get
right.
As a matter of fact. 6:53, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for a Thursday morning. Bad, bad news for our little doggy friend. Huh, Ralph?
Okay. I'll start with that one then.
As one of the stories that will be coming up soon.
Okay, here we go.
Here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
I was going to bury that a little deeper in, but no.
No,
we'll go
please.
That's
it's
what
wherever you want to put it.
The National Enquirer broke the story yesterday that Dog the Bounty Hunter, Dwayne Chapman, had a conversation with his son Tucker about his Tucker's girlfriend, Monique Shinnery. Apparently, Dog wasn't too pleased that Tucker was dating a African-American. I say African-American. Dwayne says...
N-word. Right.
Mm. Yeah. Apparently, over two phone calls, they had quite a row about it. And somehow, the National Enquirer obtained audio of those phone calls and published the story yesterday. Civil rights leaders protested to A&E, who, of course, carry Dog the Bounty Hunter, Dwayne's TV show. And as of this morning, the New York Times is reporting that A&E has suspended production on the series until further notice. I think we have a little sample of the actual phone call itself. Here's some of the audio. See if you can hear Dwayne chewing out his son.
It's not because she's black. It's because we use the word nigger sometimes here. I'm not going to take a chance ever in life of losing everything I've worked for 30 years because some nigger heard us say nigger and turned us into the Enquirer magazine.
Ouch.
Isn't that funny?
It's ironic that he's saying, I don't want to lose everything by having someone hear me say this word.
So right. What he's saying is you're dating a black girl and we use the N-word sometimes.
Yes.
And if she hears us say it, she might turn us in.
Yes.
Right, basically.
But he's already aware of the... How does he already make reference to the Enquirer who ended up publishing the transcript of this and breaking this story? What's that all about?
I have no idea.
Don't know, unless...
Weird.
His son turned him in or she heard it and turned... I don't know.
Hmm.
He's psychic. That's what he is. He's Dwayne the Psychic Bounty Hunter. I love it. It's not because she's black.
Even though
but
in
we
the next
say
sentence,
the N-word all the time, and
right.
I don't want some N-word
right.
turning us in.
In the next sentence, he calls her that.
Yeah.
An effing N-word, by the
yeah,
way.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So, like, the mullet wasn't offensive enough, by the way. Now this.
Well, he's got pipes, though. It's all that matters. He's got those pipes.
He does, yeah.
Wears those vests.
The gun show?
Yeah, looks good. What story should I do next, Bean?
I'm sorry, Ralph.
No,
whatever
which one would you like?
Whatever pleases you.
I'm the showbiz jukebox. Just push my buttons and I'll spit it out for you. What would you like?
Brittany? It's got to be something.
How about this weekend at Winston's, a nightclub here in Los Angeles? Actually, it was Monday night. It wasn't even this past weekend when Britney Spears was spotted giving a lap dance to Dallas Cowboys quarterback Tony Romo.
Champion. 2007.
I'm glad to hear that, because instead of home studying tape or working up plays for this weekend's game against the Philadelphia Eagles, he's busy catching AIDS from Britney Spears.
If he were as good as you claim he is, Psycho Mike, as a Dallas Cowboys fan, couldn't he pull hotter tail than Britney Spears?
Yeah,
come on.
What's he doing with that?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
He was planning on studying some tape and preparing for the game, but then he realized he was playing the Eagles. He's like, I'll just go to L.A. and bang some tramp.
Yeah. Here's the thing. It's questionable whether Tony will be playing or not this weekend, because apparently when Britney sat on his lap, she crushed both of his quads. Now they're pretty sore. He's not too mobile now. One of the knees is questionable, too.
So. He's going to play QB in a wheelchair?
He might have to, because that's a lot of weight on your lap.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
She's heavy?
She's not thin.
Right.
That's what I'm getting at.
All right.
She's
not that girl's fat.
Right.
She's not a light person.
Not.
I wouldn't call her svelte.
Okay.
I would say if you were comparing a heavy-set girl and a thin girl,
uh-huh.
she would lean more towards the heavy-set.
Fatty.
Yeah.
What would you compare her body to?
I would compare it to...
A rhino?
Let's say you had a 5-pound bag, okay? And then over here you've got 10 pounds of feces.
Oh,
this one
does have
to be...
Good band.
10 pounds of feces, by the way.
Come on.
I would say if you took that amount you had over on this side and you tried to jam-pack it into the 5-pound bag, and then you did your best to sort of sew it up, but it was still sort of leaking out the sides,
right.
You know, stretching at the seams.
Hey,
that's what her body
is. Enjoy your breakfast, everybody.
I'm a huge tub of lard.
Lance Armstrong's got a new girlfriend. Ashley Olsen.
Kidding.
Of the Olsen twins.
Really?
Yeah. New York Post is reporting that the two were spotted Monday night at Gramercy Park Hotel in New York, where she sat on his lap drinking red wine until the two left together. Tuesday night, the two were spotted having a romantic dinner at the Waverly Inn in New York City. For those of you who are keeping track at home, Lance is 36 years old, a divorced father of three. Ashley is 21.
I was just going to ask. And not real healthy.
You mean she's too thin?
Yeah.
You mean she's not a corpulent woman?
She's not pretty.
If there was a heavy-set girl on one side and a thinnish girl on the other side, she would lean more towards the thinnish end of the spectrum?
The starving girl.
And you know about him.
What an asshole!
True.
You got that going, too.
He is a uniball. And Coldplay fans, congratulations. Your wait is over. Chris Martin says that the band's fourth album is just about finished.
Okay.
There are so many melodies and colors packed into a relatively short space of 42 minutes, says the band on their website. Brian Eno, by the way, produced the CD. And Coldplay says because of that, there's some experimentation with the sounds, but the music remains honest. No title for the album yet, but it's expected to drop in early 2008, so you have to wait a little bit longer. But apparently, it's on its way, and it's real good.
Fantastic.
They've been away a long time.
They sure have. Today's celebrity birthday is Larry Flint. Hustler publisher. Dude looks a lot like... Woody Harrelson. I saw him in a movie the other day. I said, dude, Larry Flint looks almost exactly like Woody Harrelson.
Think,
that is weird. I have
Ralph,
no idea. I've never seen the two of them standing next to side
right,
by side, but I think it's an uncanny resemblance.
Woody
Harrelson and Larry Flint, those are two people you wouldn't think physically would be matched up, and yet when you look at him, you say, damn, it looks just like Woody Harrelson, the guy from
Cheers. Ralph, Woody Harrelson was playing Larry Flint in the movie. It was a movie about Larry Flint.
What?
Talk about a momentum killer right there.
Thanks so much. You want to make another international call? We got some time.
She would love to.
Yeah.
Don't tempt us.
Would you like to talk to us, sir? Larry's 63 years old today. Rick Allen, drummer for Def Leppard, 44 years old today. Toni Collette from The Sixth Sense turns 35, as does Jenny McCarthy, former Playboy playmate and host of... Singled Out. Remember that show, Singled Out?
Oh, yeah.
On MTV?
Oh, yeah.
That's where she got her big break.
Sure.
Anthony Kiedis, singer for the, I'm not familiar with this band, Red Hot.
Red Hot Chili Peppers?
I think they're just an L.A. Local band.
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I don't think they, we play them.
45 years old today. Anthony, 45 years old. Any thoughts about looking back over your life and your career?
Says a Fresno Tallahassee, Shamma Lamma Ding Dong, Wacka Dacka Ding Dang Da Dong, California. Wicked Dack,
It's deep.
Ching Chang Chong.
Ching Chang Chong.
Da-dang, da-dang.
Don't say Ching Chang Chong, for God's sakes.
Please don't say that.
Dig it all here, now I'm bound.
I'm sorry I did that.
Yeah. For the record,
I'm embarrassed that I did that. I did a bad thing.
See, because Anthony just says whatever. He just makes sounds.
That was in no way a relation to any particular ethnic minority.
Not at all.
God bless.
Hey!
Not the least.
Now you've gone and done it.
Not the least.
Now you've gone and done it. I'm out of here. I'm not going to watch you.
That alone is worth the price of admission to the Kevin Bean Show today. Plus, we'll talk to Slash from Velvet Revolver about his new book coming up just after 8. How did we learn about this great celebrity deception? How did we learn that there was somebody impersonating Dave the King of Mexico on the prowl for chicks?
I think it was, what did your nephew call? I think.
Yeah, I think you're
right. Sounds right.
I don't remember.
That sounds right.
Yeah. Some guy called and said that there was a dude at a nightclub or he was
Oktoberfest.
Out. Yeah. Oktoberfest, right. And he was trying to pick up girls, and his lie to them to get them interested was that he was Dave the King of Mexico, our phone screener. And we immediately, of course, said, why wouldn't he pick a celebrity? I mean, is that going to help you, really?
Now, don't misunderstand. We love Dave, and if you are Dave, that's fine. He's a great guy. You'd want to hang out with him. But why would somebody pretend to be Dave? That's what I don't get. I mean, if you look like that, if that's your face and your body, just say you're Carlos Mencia. Don't pretend to be Dave. Go with the bigger celebrity who looks just like that.
Always go with the bigger celebrity. If a tiny little bit of celebrity gets you some help, go with a bigger celebrity. You get more help.
But the danger is, obviously, you can't be George Clooney because everybody knows what George Clooney looks like. You've got to strike that balance between a celebrity big enough to get you tail and a celebrity not so big that people can obviously discover that you're not really that person.
So we're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Who did you lie to say that you were? It could be a girl hitting on a guy, too. I don't know. Sure. Girls don't really need that kind of help, I don't think, but it is possible. It is possible that that's what was going on.
So I think we want to hear stories from both sides, too. We also want to hear from people who were hit on by somebody claiming to be a celebrity that they weren't, too, right?
Yeah, sure.
Not just the guys. We want to hear from that. Here's an email, for instance, from a K-Rock listener who says, years ago I had a girlfriend who was backstage at an Elton John concert. A guy started hitting on her, telling her that he was Bernie Taupin, who is, if you're an Elton John fan, you know he's the guy who writes all the words to the songs that Elton John does. So that's a big draw at an Elton John concert,
sure.
Right? Later, she saw a photo of Bernie Taupin, and there was absolutely no way he was that guy, and no, she didn't do him. To be fair, the emailer continues, I think both sexes engage in similar strategies when they're out to get some. Guys pretend they're not just average guys, and girls pretend they're not gold-digging whores. So that's good advice right there. Now, Psycho Mike, you got some personal experience with this. You saw a situation where somebody was pretending to be a celeb, right?
Totally. I was in Spain about like 8 years ago when the band Slipknot was getting to be really huge, and they were playing a show there in Spain. And after the show, I was at a nightclub, and this genius Westerner, he was an American tourist, kept telling girls that he was the lead singer of Slipknot. Now, a lot of people know, they wear masks.
Yeah.
So he was,
no one knows
I
who
mean,
they look
this guy
like,
was
knew what they look like.
This
right?
is a perfect person to try and impersonate. Well, it turns out that crew and members of Slipknot were at that club, and later that night they found out what he was doing, and they showed him the door with his face.
No, but that's a good idea. They wear masks. Nobody knows what they look like.
Sure.
Say you're from a group, some kind of group. They don't know what everybody looks like. You know, you're a member of Wu-Tang, for God's sakes.
I was thinking yesterday, if you're tall and black, say you're a Clipper. Because no one knows who the Clippers are.
That's good, too.
That's true, too. All right, we're going to take your calls. 1-800-520-1067. Either you have pretended to be the celebrity to get somewhere with a woman, or you are the woman who has been hit on by the guy claiming to be the celebrity. Let's talk to John in Orange County real quick. This is not a celebrity I know, but let's find out if it was the right one at the right time.
John, good morning.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thanks.
Good morning.
Who did you lie and say you were?
I actually made up a celebrity to do it.
You made up a celebrity. That's better because you can't get busted.
Yeah.
True. I said I was a Norwegian rock star named Johan.
Now, that I like. That's good.
What kind of background did you have to come up with? Did you create a whole scenario, a whole resume of what Johan had done?
Well, the thing was we were in Vegas for my birthday for 3 days, and so we were going around to strip clubs, and we just wanted to come up with a way that we could get more attention.
Right.
So we just came in, and I decided to be a Norwegian rock star named Johan. I went with the accent for 3 whole days.
That's amazing.
Can we hear a little of Johan, please?
Hello!
Wow,
this
that is good.
Johan here. This is my bass player.
That's okay. A horrible accent.
Let me ask you this, John. What would happen if you ran into somebody from Norway, though? Somebody who speaks Norwegian, maybe?
Come on, what are the
chances of that? That's a
I would be concerned about being found out like that.
It would be worth the throw of the dice.
When it's dark and loud, nobody can tell.
Okay. Did it help, John?
It helped very well. I actually met a stripper, hooked up with her. I actually met up with her later.
Yeah, I hear that's not possible, John.
It was quite possible. I actually met up with her in Utah a year later.
How about that? And she wondered why you were still in America.
The funny thing was I gave her my phone number and she would call and hear my voicemail, which is my real voice.
Right.
Right.
And didn't understand.
Would she say, I'd like to leave a message for Johan? Or
she just thought I was talking kind of weird on the voicemail.
Not a smart girl,
You found a bright one. That's good.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Johan, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Kevin, you were asking if there was a woman who may have impersonated a celebrity. How about Haley? How about Haley on line
Fantastic.
8? Huh?
Haley, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Who did you pretend to be? By the way, if you have to pretend to be a celebrity as a chick, Yeah. Come on.
I know.
You must be a beast.
Oh,
but she can't be a beast if look who she pretended to be. She can't be a beast.
Oh, no.
I'm not just
a beast. All
right.
Maybe she was just having fun.
Who's the celebrity?
I was Jennifer Capriati.
Oh, well, she's not.
She's
not big.
She's attractive, but why did you do it?
You know what? I was in London, and I was joking with these three guys from Turkey, because they're from Turkey.
Right.
And I kind of look like her, and they're like, oh, can we take a picture? And I was like, no pictures, but I'll sign something. So I
nice.
Her name.
Nice.
And it was a joke, but there was a guy in the bar that overheard me and thought I was Jennifer Capriati, and he came over, and I kind of just kept going with it, not intentionally.
Right.
And it worked.
It worked.
I'm going to suggest to you that you didn't need that for that guy.
I'm sorry, you
didn't need your cover story for that guy. It would have worked without it.
I hope to think that it would have.
Yeah.
Capriati had some fun that night.
Somewhere out there, there's a guy who thinks he nailed Jennifer Capriati. Every time he sees her on the TV, he goes, yep, hit that.
Hatter.
Hatter. Right.
That's funny. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the call. What about Tim in Compton, by the way? I don't know that this is going to work today, but it looked like it worked for him. Hey, Tim, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Talking about impersonating a celebrity to get it on with the ladies. What happened?
Yeah, like I grew out my hair in this thick mullet, and then I got some big, thick glasses, you know, like the cops, you know, the
right.
California Highway Patrol.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I was like walking around acting like I was Dog the Bounty Hunter with my little black vest on.
Excellent.
And I went to this Halloween party actually last night, and I met up with this chick, and, you know, I was talking to her. I'm like, yeah, dude,
all
my
right,
name's Dog the Bounty Hunter, and it was cool.
But hold on, dude, you can't do that at a Halloween party. Everybody's claiming to be someone else.
Well, no, but the thing is, they actually thought I was.
So they thought that you were Dog the Bounty Hunter and you showed up at a Halloween costume party out of costume.
Yeah, all the African-American people there were pretty pissed, though.
All right, Tim is just making the whole thing up.
He's got a comedy chunk that he's trying to work in. All right, 1-800-520-1067. You lied and said you were a celebrity. We will take some more calls when we get back on.
It was brought to our attention that at a recent Oktoberfest, there was a K-Rock listener, we assume, who was telling chicks that he was Dave the King of Mexico, our lovable phone screener here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. And all we're saying is if you're going to pick a celebrity, you can do better. That's the only thing that we're saying here. We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067 of stories where you have either pretended to be a famous person to get a woman or you've been hit on by a guy claiming to be somebody that you clearly know he wasn't.
All right, let's start with Dave in Burbank. Good morning, Dave.
What's up?
What's up? Who did you say you were, man?
This is something.
Yes. Yes. He's been hiding for a while.
Well done, my friend. All right, let's talk to Leah in L.A. She's on line 5. If this story is true, well, I can't imagine it is, but let's find out. Hey, Leah, good morning.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good.
We are good.
My sister used to pretend that she was Monica Lewinsky to hit on guys.
Wow.
A sure thing.
Yeah.
I guess if you're a fat chick, you got to come up with some angle, right? And that was hers.
It's unfortunately a true story and so humiliating.
Did it work?
Of course it worked. Are you kidding? That was like, that was gold in the 90s.
Yeah, exactly.
Does she look anything like her?
She did in the 90s. She had the same haircut and everything.
Did she get the haircut so she could say she was?
No, she had that before.
All right.
But now, what about all the conversation? Because you bring that up and then everybody wants to talk to you about, I mean, did she have to make up lots of answers of what it was like being in the White House and working with Bill Clinton and all that stuff? Did she have the whole rap down?
Oh, yeah. She had the whole act down. She, like, pre-thought about this.
Wow. That's amazing.
But it didn't get her laid, though. It just made guys want her to do them.
Oh, no.
Right?
She got laid for it.
Yeah.
Really? Okay. That's hilarious.
Thank you, Leah.
You're welcome.
How about that? That's a choice.
Mm-hmm.
That is certainly a choice.
Let's talk to Cole in Anaheim. He's on line 7. This one hurts me. If this one's true, this one hurts me. Hey, Cole, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Good morning. I said I was Kevin Smith.
Oh, man.
You
really?
Said you were Kevin Smith. Do you look like him?
I do indeed. I was at a...
Oh, hold on a sec there, potty mouth.
Yeah, we can't say the F word. Sorry, dude.
Anyway,
it's
like,
a new rule.
It's Silent Bob, is, you know, I'm like, oh, yeah, it is.
Oh, so you just went with it.
Well, yeah, but then I was like, you know, this has come up before, and I do. And, you know, looking like Silent Bob has never worked for anyone ever. But looking like Kevin Smith, hey.
Sure, of course.
Good point. Yeah.
All right.
Again, it's just like the chick with the Monica Lewinsky. You're already a fat guy. You might as well go with it, right? And be a famous fat guy.
How dare you. Let's go to Ryan in Ontario. Good morning, Ryan. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning, party people. I was sitting in a bar at mm-hmm. the Paris Hotel, Vegas, mm-hmm. and in rolls Oscar De La Hoya with a couple of his pretty boy guy friends.
Right.
He came up to me and was talking to me and was like, "Don't you know who I am?" And I was like, "No." And then he's like, "I'm Oscar De La Hoya." And I said, "No, you're not." And it so wasn't him. I've met him before at a sports
No,
bar.
You are wrong, crazy girl. It really was me. I'm a great champion. Te quiero mucho. I take you home, dress you like a man, and wreck you. That's right. That's right. I'm the golden boy.
He didn't even speak like that. He was horrible.
He didn't even try to speak like him?
Yeah, I'm Oscar De La Hoya. What about it?
Was this before or after the pictures surfaced of him wearing the fishnets?
This was like two Super Bowls ago.
Okay. Oh, okay. So before
that. He was a great champion. Weekend.
That's funny.
I believe in my people, East LA forever. That's great. Te quiero mucho. It's good.
Thank you for the call. We got time for a couple more. Let's go to Brady in Corona. He's on line four. Now, this is a perfect example of a celebrity that I think is too well known to be able to pull off. Brady, who did you claim you were?
Matthew Perry, Chandler Bing.
And how do you get away with pretending to be a guy on Friends? Doesn't everybody know what Matthew Perry looks like?
You know what? They must have been so trashed. People have always said I look kind of like him, but... You know, there's some similarity there, but it's not.
I got you.
It's not like a look-alike.
Right, but if they're drunk enough and they're not really checking and they're surprised by it, maybe they would fall for it.
Exactly.
Did it work?
I was in I was in Vegas at the Rio in the jacuzzi, and actually the guy friend of the group said, "Hey, that guy is Matthew Perry." And I don't know if he was joking or whatnot, but the girls just picked up on it, so I just went with it.
Fantastic.
did you have to field a lot of questions about what Jennifer Aniston is like and stuff?
They asked a bunch of stupid questions. I was a little buzzed myself, so I don't really remember. But it worked out well.
All right.
I guess if you have the conviction to pull it off, why not? Right.
Sure.
See, we're saying Matthew Perry. If you can pull it off, great. Dave, the King of Mexico, love him. Not the best celebrity to impersonate.
Let's close with Eric in Garden Grove. He's on line eight. I tried this one before. It did not work for me, but maybe Eric had better luck.
Eric,
how's it going?
Good, thank you.
Hey,
hello.
Who'd you say you were?
My, I went to a friend of a kickback, and then we ended up going to a club, and then they all said, "Hey, you cut your hair really short this time. How about you be Jet Li?" And I'm like, "That's not gonna pull it off." And they start telling all the girls, "Like I'm just Jet Li," and they actually bought it.
They bought it. Do you look like him?
I'm sorry.
Do you look like him?
Actually, I'm actually a lot taller than he is, but hey, man, he looks a lot taller in the movie too.
Yeah, that's true.
But you're an Asian dude, though.
Yes, I am.
Well, y'all look alike.
Stop it. What's wrong with you?
I mean, who's going to know if he says he's Jet Li or he's the president of China? Who's going to know?
Does Jet Li have a strong accent, doesn't he?
Right. There's a few times I actually would just stop talking. I'll still go to my friend. I'll whisper in their ear. And then they're like, oh, they'll like pretend like they're translating. Or I'll like, oh, okay. All right. That's good. And,
so you didn't say much because you couldn't, quote, understand the conversation.
Yeah, so it's like sometimes they'll talk, and then ended up, I got a whole bunch of phone numbers. Oh, my God, hey, give me a call. We'll go out and party, hang out. And it was pretty cool.
We only had one of these stories that didn't work out, and that was the chick that said Oscar De La Hoya hit on her.
Yeah.
Interesting.
She'd met him
before. She busted him, but everyone else says it worked.
All right. I guess we've all learned a little something here today. Thanks for the call, Jet Li.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Here's an article from the Tyler Morning Telegraph. You know, I receive this every day at my home, right, Kevin? Never get busted again. Law enforcement officers around East Texas were startled to find one of their former brothers of the badge is scheduled to begin selling a video describing how to avoid getting caught when stopped by police looking for illegal substances. The Tyler Morning Telegraph has learned that Barry Cooper, former police officer, is scheduled to begin selling his DVD, Never Get Busted Again, with the launch of a website and a full-page ad in a national publication targeting those interested in illicit drugs. Well, that was a few months ago. It is on the website NeverGetBustedAgain.com, and it has sold tens of thousands of copies. We're happy to welcome Barry Cooper on the Kevin and Bean Show with us right now on K-Rock. Good morning, Barry.
Hey, good morning. Glad to be here.
Good to have you. So you're on one side of the badge for a number of years, catching people with drugs, putting them away. Now you're on this side. What happened?
Well, I learned that the harms that I was causing American families by breaking into their house at 3 o'clock in the morning after throwing a flash grenade through the window and dragging the parents away, orphaning the kids over a bag of pot, was much more harm than just allowing them to smoke the bag of pot. You know, we have 1.5 million orphans in the U.S. right now because their parents are in jail for nonviolent drug offenses.
Wow. That's
so it just it got harder to get up and go to work every day and enforce the laws that you were required to enforce because you didn't believe they were doing the community any good.
Yeah, it would be similar to, you know, we've had bad laws in this land for we've got a history of bad laws that we corrected. We didn't allow women to vote. That was a bad law. Prohibition in the 1920s, that was a bad law. We used to beat slaves when they escaped, bad law.
Yeah.
Well, if somebody beat a slave for a while and then they realize, whoa, this is the wrong thing to do, yeah, it starts weighing and wearing on the person.
Now, you went as far as to train cops how to make those busts, right?
That's right. Yeah, they had me travel all over the state of Texas to teach undercover narcotics and canine interdiction on the highways.
Now, Barry, do you believe that our Fourth Amendment rights that protect citizens from unreasonable search and seizures are being regularly violated?
Oh, I don't believe it. I know that. The Fourth Amendment to an unreasonable search and arrest has so eroded. That's why we have more people in jail than any free country in the world. We built 21 prisons in California last year and only one university. The prison system is turning into one of the largest corporations in the U.S. It costs $17 million per day to house our nonviolent drug offenders.
Wow. How would you decide to pull someone over?
I'm sorry, what?
When you were out with your, you were in a unit with your dog and you would pull people over, how would you decide? I mean, was it only when they broke the law or did you have other reason to pull people over?
No, I profiled, and the website, by the way, is nevergetbusted.com. The name of the video is Never Get Busted Again. And at nevergetbusted.com, this video has a profiling section where I teach the American people that I pulled people over because they were black or because they were Mexicans or because they had a college bumper sticker on their car. We knew college kids liked to smoke pot. We even profiled Vietnam vet plates. I put a lot of Vietnam veterans in jail, and I feel bad about that. They should have been able to drive down the road with their pot and not be bothered.
If somebody should get to smoke pot, it should be vets of wars, for God's sakes.
But don't you need a reason to pull someone over aside from a bumper sticker?
Well, the profilers like myself, the good interdiction officers, we waited to see the right person drive by, and then we got behind them until they either committed a traffic offense or we pulled them over and lied and said they failed to maintain a single marked lane.
Wow.
Then it's the cops' word against the citizens, and, you know, the cops win in court every time.
You are an a-hole cop.
Yeah, I'm glad you're not a police officer anymore, Barry. I got to tell you. I mean, really.
The Associated Press interviewed my bosses, and they called me one of the best narcotics officers in the nation. I don't know if I was. I'll take that. But the important thing to remember is there are thousands of other police officers out there today doing exactly what I did. In fact, the stats came out for 2006. Record number, 830,000 Americans went to jail in 2006 for marijuana crimes.
All right. Let's say, again, if you're just joining us, Barry Cooper's on the line, former law enforcement officer, now has a DVD he's selling, and you can see some clips of it as well at nevergetbusted.com. Let's say you're a K-Rock listener hearing this interview right now, Mr. Cooper, and you are pulled over and you do have illegal substances in your car. What is your advice to that person to minimize the likelihood that they're going to be convicted and go to jail?
The best advice that I give, and I give this on my DVD, is to never carry more than you can eat. It is impossible to overdose on marijuana to death. 5,000 years of recorded use. People overdose every year on aspirin. People overdose on water and die. But not one person ever in history has ever died from ingesting or smoking marijuana. So you keep the marijuana close to you with a glass of water, and when they light you up, start swallowing.
That's what she said.
I never thought of that.
And they don't give you a drug test and find that in your system? Is that something you have to be aware of?
No, only if your job requires that, and there are ways to beat those tests, and I'll be coming out with the DVD that teaches that. But police officers are not allowed to check your blood unless you've been involved in an accident that caused serious bodily injury or death. So the eating thing really works, and if they ask you, well, what are you eating? Are you trying to get rid of evidence? Say, no, I ate a cracker, because there's no evidence. It's in your stomach now, so it works really well.
Wow.
How about if they have a dog with them? The dog is really going to pick up on that. It's going to smell that. What happens then?
Well, it's not illegal to smell like marijuana. It's only illegal to possess it. In fact, if you are smoking a joint and a cop approaches you and you can swallow that joint, they can't capture smoke and take it to a lab. There's no way they can get you unless they have that physical evidence of the pot. And by the way, if you do need to carry more than two joints to your house, make sure you do it in the rain. I want everybody to go in the rain. Cops do not pull people out and search cars in the rain. So that's another safe.
Really? It's that easy? Just, of course, in Southern California, it doesn't rain all that often. You'll see a huge glut of cars out there trying to...
Like 2 days a year, people are going to be trying to move their stashes. Now, what about this? I would imagine, and you've been involved, I imagine, in hundreds, maybe more, of traffic stops. People panic when they've got the hot white light of the law on them. And people say dumb things. What kind of advice do you give on the DVD on how to maintain your composure and not say the wrong thing there at the scene of the pullover?
First thing to do is prepare yourself through education. We get scared to death when a police officer pulls us over because of intimidation and ignorance. We're very intimidated by them, and we don't know what in the world is going on. I pulled over 30 vehicles per day for a 5-year period, so that's a whole lot of cars. And even the more experienced people were always nervous when I pulled them over. So my point is to arm yourself with good information. Do not put up with any abuse. We want to switch this thing around and get cops back to what they were meant to do, and that's to come and protect us, not come and arrest us.
Now, speaking of that last topic, one of the things that you highlight on your site is how a cop can tell if you're lying.
Yeah, that's right. One of the top three indicators of deception in the FBI polygraph manual is hand-to-head contact. I was an expert at knowing if the motorist was lying or not before I ever asked them to search. So keep your hands off your head. Don't scratch your nose. Don't touch your cap. Don't wipe your eye. Those are all signs of deception. And just practice it at home. Now, next time you get ready to tell a little white lie, you'll invariably reach up and scratch your face. So you can use this elsewhere in life as well.
Good to know.
Again, the site is nevergetbusted.com, where you can buy the DVD and find out more from Barry Cooper. What kind of reaction do you get from the – I'm sure you still have friends that are working in law enforcement. I would imagine they just hate you. You're the traitor now, right?
Yeah, they my company's only a year old. We released that film January of this year, and at first it was like the whole world was against my efforts. And now that we've got this snowball of approval and cops joining and the media starting to swing in our direction, you know, the National Public Radio just aired their story about me yesterday. Mm-hmm. The police feel a little overwhelmed and a little bit timid now because they see the support of the American people, and they don't want to be hated either. But I think we're really close to drug reform here in the U.S.
It would be a miracle.
I think the drug laws are ridiculous, especially when it comes to pot.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine being a decent cop and having you out there badmouth us all. If I were a cop, I would really hate you.
Yeah, well, there's a group called LEAP, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. They have 6,500 members, and those are current and ex-cops, politicians, and judges that all agree with me. You know, we need to end the prohibition. Prohibition never, ever, ever changes the demand. It only changes the supplier. We took alcohol out of the hands of Coors and gave it to Al Capone. The American people would much rather go to Marlboro and buy their marijuana cigarettes, but we can't because of prohibition, so we're forced to go to a different supplier. And these people at LEAP, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, and people at NeverGetBusted.com, we realize that and understand that. And so does Ron Paul, who's running for president. If elected, he's going to totally end the war on drugs.
Again, the site is NeverGetBusted.com. Our guest has been Barry Cooper. Barry, we've enjoyed the conversation. Thanks for coming on K-Rock this morning.
Absolutely. I enjoyed it.
Thank you. Bye.
Has there ever been a photograph of Slash where he is not smoking? Has anyone ever seen that picture? I have not.
I don't think that's ever happened in
life. I saw the first video of him without his hat on yesterday. It's very impressive.
Really?
You would
what was that all about?
The dude. He was walking in a suit, smoking with his sunglasses on, with his hair pulled back into a ponytail. So it looked like he just had sort of a coiffed haircut with no hat on whatsoever.
I wouldn't know what he looked like.
He was on TMZ TV last night, and they said, doesn't this guy look familiar? Who is that guy? And then they superimposed a hat on top of him. It was, oh, it's Slash. Didn't even recognize him.
Maybe that's how he's able to go out and not get recognized. That's a great idea. All right, it's 7:56 Thursday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Speaking of being recognized, it's got to be tough being a celebrity when everyone's watching everything you do. It's got to be even tougher when you've got a notorious problem like substance abuse or perhaps a suicide attempt.
Yeah.
The New York Post says that actor Owen Wilson is back on the club scene. He's going out again, hanging with some friends. But here's what he does. When he goes into the men's room, he leaves the stall door open. So any onlookers who might call tabloids and say, oh, I saw Owen Wilson in the stall of the men's room, know that there's nothing going on. They can't say he was doing drugs or something because everyone can see he's just peeing.
Wow.
What a pain. Okay.
He's got to do that just to make sure that they don't make up stories about him. That's his way of counteracting all the BS.
Wow.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
You got to live that. And he leaves it open when he goes number two, too. That's the problem.
Oh, no one knows. Yeah. Come on now.
That's what he does.
Come on.
I'm guessing.
Why?
Tonight on television, you're not going to want to miss this, a special two-hour edition of Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader?
Oh, wow.
It's Clay Aiken versus Regis Philbin.
What?
What?
I said Clay Aiken versus Regis Philbin.
Bean's head's going to explode.
It's star-studded. It's fifth grader with the stars.
What the?
Clay Aiken versus Regis Philbin. Stop promoting this. Stop promoting it, Fox.
They are two of my favorite celebrities. You know that.
Yeah, that's why you're bad.
And Barry Manilow on Craig Kilborn tonight. Tell me I don't have the best night of television planned ever.
I'm just turning my TV off.
Throwing mine out the window.
I like this conversation the next time Bean goes, how come people think I'm gay?
Heather Mills is fed up with being portrayed as a villain in the media, she says. She was on a British talk show called GMTV, saying she's received death threats. She's even considered suicide because of how she's been vilified by the media.
Is she hopping mad?
She is.
See what she did?
She's been treated worse than a pedophile or a murderer, she claims. And she even likens her situation to that of Princess Diana.
I'm sorry?
Yeah.
How so?
She's concerned for her well-being, Lisa.
Oh.
In fact, she says that should she be murdered, there is a box full of evidence that will go to the press and the truth will come out.
Evidence against someone she doesn't know yet?
Paul.
It must be against Paul.
Must be.
So she's saying he might hire someone to kill her?
That's what she's saying.
Oh, for God's sake.
She said Paul has failed to protect her and her four-year-old, and should she be murdered, the box of evidence will release the truth.
Wow, she's hateable.
Yeah. Seriously, like, Paul McCartney has nothing better to do than hire a hitman.
Seriously, that's true.
Hello, Ringo. Are you doing anything? No, you know I'm not. I have no career. Could you go murder Heather for me? I'll be happy to.
That conversation.
Seriously, for like 50 euros, you could probably get Ringo to do
sure,
it.
Sure, exactly.
What the hell?
I have to show up with Joe Walsh and some of the other washed-up guys in his band, but I'm sure they'd be there. Here's what you're doing. You're driving down the street.
Okay.
You're right. In Malibu, California.
Yes, I am.
You're going by a school.
All right.
And the crossing guard asks you to stop.
Okay.
You look closely, and behind that orange vest are the giant bazooms of Pamela Anderson.
You stop.
Yay!
Pam Anderson's doing crossing guard duty this week.
Oh,
for her
this
kid's school in Malibu.
Boobs.
Really?
How about that?
Boobs.
How about that?
She's wearing the signature orange vest.
A special one to fit
stretched
her, I'm
to
sure.
The extremes.
Just that, though. Just an orange vest. How cool would that be if you're driving your kid to school and Pam Anderson is directing traffic outside the schoolyard?
Gosh, melons. That's really bizarre.
Do they have a deal where every parent has to do it for a week throughout the year? They just rotate it or something?
I believe so, yeah. I believe it's a shared duty from some of the parents.
Wow.
Fantastic.
So that's got to be pretty cool.
Fantastic.
And here's the thing about Jennifer Lopez.
Are we still driving to Malibu, or have we moved?
No, we
parked the car now?
We parked the car, and we've caught the metro back here to Los Angeles.
Okay.
Jennifer Lopez, I always thought was sort of an egomaniac for having a successful film career and then forcing her fans to listen to her music and going on tour and pretending to be musical artists.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was one of those vanity projects where you see from time to time an actor will record an album and sort of be BS. Thank God she did it. Because her career is so much more successful now musically than it is in the movies.
Yeah, that's true. Way more.
Her last film, El Cantante, that she did with her husband, was a bomb at the box office.
Right.
And now rumor has it that her upcoming film, Border Town, is going straight to video in January.
Oh, ouch.
No kidding.
Her film career is just struggling, and yet the musical career, her tour right now,
on fire,
blockbuster.
Yeah,
I guess she was smarter than I was when it came to her career. Who could have guessed?
I heard that, I did not see it, but I heard that that Robert Redford film that she was in, she was fantastic in. I mean, people were saying she was still had it as an actress, but I guess doesn't pick very good roles, because even that movie wasn't much of a hit.
It wasn't, but I did see it, and she was quite decent in it, I have to say.
I think she's a good actress. I do.
Yeah,
I just don't
bad.
Think her career is very healthy right now.
Yeah.
Who could have predicted that?
Not me. It's funny, you know, of all the movies that are out there right now, and all the producers who are hiring actresses, you would think that it would be hard to find roles for Jennifer Lopez, because there's so many quality actors vying for a limited amount of roles, so I'm sure there's a lot of competition. And I think if you're a producer, you'd probably want to go with someone who has a more successful string of hits, a recent string of hits, rather than take a chance and risk something for Jennifer Lopez, who hasn't really been doing that well.
Oh, no. Not this again.
How is it you suppose she ends up getting offered roles then?
Well, it turns out, Bean, when it comes to casting in Hollywood, there's always room for J-Lo!
That's a joke that just doesn't get old.
You're right. You're right. It doesn't. You need it every once in a while. It's like a good colonic.
Oh, no.
It just cleans you out.
No.
Doing those every once in a while. Today's celebrity birthday is Jenny McCarthy, actress. Cans. She's 35 years old today. Toni Collette. There's an actress. She's 35 as well. Anthony Kiedis from the Red Hot Chili Peppers turns 45 years old today. Larry Flint, Hustler publisher, turns 63. And Rick Allen, drummer for Def Leppard, turns 44 years old today.
I don't think that's... I'm pretty sure that's not Def Leppard.
What's that?
I think that's...
I can't hear
that. I think it's Rick Astley. You're playing Rick Astley. I said Rick Allen.
Oh.
You're playing Rick Astley.
We must have got that mixed up. Sorry about that. That happens in the lab sometimes. The guy's on 13.
I wonder what Rick Astley's up to. We should call him and find out. Wouldn't that be a funny segment?
That was a funny bit. I'm standing by that as a funny bit.
Hey, what's up with Rick Astley? Let's make a phone call.
I'm with Ralph. Not funny at all.
It would only be better if he was somewhere international that you could call
and have a hard time
getting a hold of.
We called him at his home in England to find out what he was up to. And you know what he told us, Ralph? What? I'm so filthy rich, I don't ever have to do another thing in my life. I just sit around and watch TV.
I find that hard to believe.
That's what he told us.
Well, God bless you, Rick Astley. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
A few days ago, we had on our friend Scott Weiland, the lead singer of that band Velvet Revolver, to tell you that their Verizon Wireless show had to be rescheduled for December 12th at the Gibson Amphitheater. That was then. Now, Slash from the band on the line talking about his brand new book just in stores this week, an autobiography just called Slash. Slash, welcome back to the Kevin Beach on K-Rock, my friend.
What's happening?
Did you ever think you'd be one of those celebrities who would write a book?
No. No, I seriously didn't. The few times that I was asked, you know, or it was suggested to be, Slash, you should write a book, it'd be great. I was like, why? Well, you know, what for? And I finally got around to that point where I was getting asked so many questions as a result of being in Velvet Revolver and doing a lot of press. Like 15 to 20% of those questions would be about Guns N' Roses. And
right.
I finally got to a point where I just wanted to get the record straight.
We had Dave Grohl in here, and I was asking him the same thing. Just out of self-defense, don't you write a book about Nirvana just so that you could point people to that book and say that that has all the answers? Same thing with you.
Yeah, well, we'll see how it works.
But what I thought about Slash, and please don't misinterpret this, this is in no way meant to be insulting, but how does a guy like you, and I remember what you were like in the 80s and some of the 90s, how does a guy like you remember one day, much less enough days to write a book about?
It's pretty amazing. I really didn't think that I would remember anything. And, you know, the few times that I've tried to tell a couple stories, you know, some of the details get lost in the haze or whatever. But when I started working on the book, I put a lot of the basic stuff together. We had a framework, which is basically starting from the beginning up until a certain point. And you put all the, you know, when you sign a record deal, when you start playing guitar, when you play Wembley Stadium, this and that and the other, and you start putting that stuff together. And you get into that frame of mind, and the details of a lot of stuff start coming. And the more you do it, the more memory recall you have. And it actually turned out that I have, regardless of all the brain cells that I've probably burned years, a pretty good recall. And now that the book is finished, since the book was turned in and it's been printed, so much stuff has come to the forefront of my consciousness that there's so much information that's not in the book that I just hadn't really realized. realize.
You have to write another one, dude.
I doubt it.
Now,
this is more out of necessity.
Guns N' Roses is one of those bands that just destroyed the world for a while. And that's why, you know, there's so many headlines and people are interested in how it started and, you know, what Axl was like and that, you know, rehearsal tour. ODs, everything that went on in your world is very fascinating to people. And what is the question that you would guess people ask the most about the early days with Guns N' Roses?
The early days of Guns N' Roses, probably, you know, like how it all worked. Where did Sweet Child of Mine come from? That's probably the biggest one. But how we managed to be so volatile and be able to stay together as long as we did.
Right.
That's basically it. When it comes to like old school Guns N' Roses stuff, people aren't really as much interested in that as to how the band broke up, you know, if there's going to be a reunion tour,
right.
What my relationship with Axl is like. And it's 10 years since I quit the band. And, you know, from the time that Velvet Revolver started and even before that, that no one's ever talked about a reunion tour. There actually has been no communication between me and the lead singer from that band since then. So it's sort of redundant when you ask me about it because I don't have anything really to tell you.
Right. But you know, as accomplished as Paul McCartney has been since 1970 as a solo artist, he can't do an interview without people talking about John Lennon, without talking about the Beatles, because it was so significant in so many people's lives. I mean, it's almost a compliment to the work that you guys did.
In its own way, it's kind of flattering. I think I was responding more to the misinformation that people are running with out there.
Right.
You know, because there's a barrage of that that's going on. And there's also people writing their own books based off of, you know, maybe a couple magazine articles in their own imagination.
Right. Now, a lot of people sit down to write a book. They find it to be cathartic because it gives them a chance to – it forces them to deal with things maybe they haven't wanted to deal with or think about. And they also sometimes find it to be painful. Did you go through anything like that?
It was cathartic. That's a good way to put it. I wouldn't say so much painful, but there was a lot of soul searching, trying to sort of get to the root of a lot of things and to be able to explain it all honestly and put as much of the detail into it as possible. You know, stuff. I mean, you know, more personal stuff like when my grandmother died or when I got divorced or you know the split up with a lot of the incidents that happened over the course of Guns N' Roses' career, especially towards the end. There's a lot of stuff that you have to go back, and it's a little bit uncomfortable to have to sort of revisit that. You know,
right?
Did you, of course, you know, some of the guys who were there at the time of Guns N' Roses are in your band now, so you've got somebody to bounce ideas off of. But did you have to reach out to people you hadn't talked to in a real long time and talk to them to kind of get the story straight?
No, you know what? I didn't tell anybody I was working on the book all the way at all until HarperCollins, the publisher, actually posted it on their calendar that there was a book coming out. I did a lot of research, but it was all sort of, you know, asking questions without asking why. You know, so I didn't divulge any kind of, like, information.
Why did you not want to tell anyone that you were doing it? Just
because it's just sort of a private thing, and it was also out of character for me to, you know, I'm not into that whole, you know, sort of self-importance.
Right.
You, when you're writing a book, I found during the writing of it, it's like it's all about me, you know. And it's sort of self-indulgent in that way, and I felt sort of uncomfortable at a certain point. And I just didn't want to. I'm not the kind. I'm pretty private anyway, so I don't want to go on. Hey, I'm writing a book. Let's talk about it. You know, it's sort of something that I was doing on my own. It's like a little project, I guess.
This is Slash. We're talking on the phone from Velvet Revolver. His new book is in stores now, called Just Slash. And by the way, you can meet him and get it signed at the Borders in Torrance on Monday night at 7 o'clock, and then at Book Soup in Hollywood at 6 o'clock. That's next Wednesday. So Monday and Wednesday are the in stores. You go back all the way to your childhood, and I'm sure you get asked this question all the time, Slash, but if you don't find a guitar, if that doesn't come into your life, what do you then become?
You know, I was BMX racing and part of a pretty rowdy gang of bike riders.
Were you wearing the top hat when you were a BMX rider?
The top hat hadn't come into play
yet.
Okay. But so I was like, you know, what you call semi-professional doing that, and I was pretty good at it. But there was no way that I was going to be doing that when I was 17 and 18 years old. I saw some of the more famous riders before me, like Stu Thompson and Scott Bryhop and all these other guys, that were racing into their 20s, and that just didn't make any sense to me. If I hadn't picked up the guitar and I didn't get put in jail or something for any extended period of time, I probably just would have been an artist because that was the only talent that I really had.
Did you ride a BMX with a cigarette hanging out of your mouth?
A lot of the time, yeah.
Okay, good.
They wouldn't let me race with it, though. I have memories about it.
They wouldn't let you race with it?
No.
That's BS.
Hey, Slash is on the phone, and we only have another minute left. How much Velvet Revolver is there in the book, Slash?
It talks about how it came together, you know, how Duff and Matt and I originally came together to do something, and then how Dave Kushner and then obviously Scott, but everything that went on leading up to Scott, which you guys might remember, we had like ads out on the .coms and this.
That's
and that
right.
For singers, that whole search went on for like 10 months.
That's right.
And so it talks about Scott and how that all started, and then everything, you know, basically the band has done up until now, but not in as so much detail because I didn't think it was necessary to have to explain all that as much as all the stuff from the past.
Right, sure.
Got it. That's still on. That's ongoing and current, and you know, it just doesn't seem like I need to get into that.
Velvet Revolver, December 12th at the Gibson Amphitheater. Of course, the website is velvetrevolver.net. The book is just called Slash, in stores this week. The in stores Monday night at the Borders in Torrance, Wednesday night at Book Soup in Hollywood. Slash, we love you, man. We love having you on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for coming on today.
Thanks for having me. We'll see you soon.
Thank you, man.
Bye-bye. Bye now. LaQuisha, sorry you had to be on hold so long. We were talking to Slash from Velvet Revolver.
I don't give a good goddamn. Okay, who are you talking to?
I thought that would be your kind of band. I'm sorry about that, LaQuisha.
I got a shot of love with Tila Tequila waiting on here.
That was last night. That's
all
true.
Right.
Yeah.
This is the new reality show. I guess it's been on, what, about four times now on MTV. Tila Tequila is who again, for folks who don't recognize the name?
Tila Tequila is a whore that has been on MySpace. And has like a million friends.
Yep.
And then she was in like some men's magazines, I think like Maxim or something.
Right.
And
okay.
Then MTV said, we got to give her own show.
Right,
she's
sure.
She's so talented. So they started off with 32 men and, 32 people, 16 men and 16 lesbians competing for Tila Tequila because she's bisexual and she don't know whether she wants sausage or oysters. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Yes, yeah. Yes, we do.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, we do.
No, we got it, yes.
So now they whittle it down to 12 people so far on this episode. And Tila Tequila, still trying to find true love.
Sure.
And a shot of love. I think she needs more like a shot of penicillin myself because I don't know what she's carrying. But she's looking for love, and so she keeps having these competitions. So now she is pitting the six straight men and the six lesbians against each other in an Olympic-type games.
Okay.
That she calls the biathlon.
See?
See what she did there?
Because bi.
How do they ride it so good and sell it so cheap? Well, this is what the prize is if you win, the men or the women win in the biathlon.
The first team to have all the members cross that finish line will get to choose whether they want to spend time with me in heaven or in hell.
I get the sense that any time spent with Tila Tequila is hell. I don't think you really have a choice there.
Yeah.
She sure sounds smart on those clips, LaQuisha.
I'm glad everybody booed hell, by the way.
Yeah, that's
good to know the kids are still booing hell.
You're going to spend time with a hot chick, though. You don't want to take her to heaven.
No! Yeah. Anyway, they had the competition, and surprise, the lesbians beat the straight men in the physical competition.
Sure.
And the guy from Italy, Little Italy, Domenico, he's got an idea why they lost.
It's not that we're really competing against girls here. We're talking about lesbians. Technically, they're guys.
That's true. Technically, they are guys.
Every time that guy opens up his mouth, he's a doofus.
If you reduce it to a cellular level, you'll find they're actually men.
That's correct, yes.
Now, they go to heaven, which is all the girls get to go to heaven with tequila. Mm-hmm. And it's like this big white house, and everybody's wearing white. It's all very heavenly. And each of the girls gets 7 minutes in heaven with Tila. They get some alone time with her. So everybody goes, and then finally it's Brandy's turn, and Brandy got to go ruin it for everybody when she's outside in the backyard with Tila, and she squashes a lizard under her foot.
I squashed a poor lizard on its head with my boot.
Brandy, you killed my heaven lizard. Heaven's over.
Heaven is canceled now.
Oh,
heaven. She ruined it for everybody.
Heaven is over.
You killed her heaven lizard. What the hell? She's seven? Killed my heaven lizard. Heaven is canceled, and Tila goes back to the house, and now it's time to meet the guys in hell.
Okay.
And the guys are worried. They don't know what hell's going to be like. And you know my favorite, the redneck cowboy racist dude?
Oh, sure.
Yes. Right.
He's
right.
Very concerned.
There was all kinds of mixed emotions thinking about hell. I was just hoping that it was Tila time and not some gay stuff.
Yeah. You don't want no gay stuff.
No.
These people are so evolved.
That would be hell. Wow. Any gay stuff going on. Well, it turns out it's not gay stuff, but it is bondage and discipline stuff.
Ah, sure.
It's a dungeon. And Tila, like, tying guys up and spanking their behinds and whatnot. And redneck cowboy racist dude, he gets his ass whipped by Tila Tequila.
She could have whipped me all she wanted to whip me. Pain is only temporarily. Love is forever.
That's right.
Yeah, that's true. That's very deep. Nice.
Pain is temporarily, but love is forever.
Uh-huh.
So each of the guys gets 7 minutes in hell with Tila to have a little alone time and get to know each other better so she can make her decision who to get rid of at the end of the show.
Right.
Well, redneck cowboy racist guy has a confession to make to Tila in their time together.
I mean, I'm falling in love. I really am. But one
more. Oh, no. Oh, boy.
Dear God.
He know her like 8 minutes, and he's already in love.
Sure.
And as stupid as Tila Tequila is, as profoundly an ignorant woman, she still gets a sense that something ain't right about that.
I think he's really serious. And it kind of like, whoa. Something's a little off. Something.
Do you think?
You think so?
He's only had 3 drunken fights so far in the house, and he's been there 2 days. He's already insulted a ton of people and just been all crazy.
Yeah.
You think something may be off? Yeah. I don't know. Well, the next competition is a massage competition where everybody got to massage Tila Tequila for 5 minutes.
Okay.
And she's going to pick out which one is the best, which guy and which girl, and they get to spend some more alone time with her. And redneck cowboy racist guy looking forward to this competition.
I can't wait till I get there and massage her, and I can rub on her and just let her feel my energy of love.
Yeah. Yes.
Is that what the kids are calling it these days? Yeah, feel my energy of love.
Yeah, she's looking forward to that as much, I imagine.
My lightning rod of lust. Well, the problem is, he's fine when he gets his massages. But everybody gets their turn massaging her, and everybody in the same room while this is happening.
Oh.
And redneck cowboy racist guy, he's got a jealous streak.
I was totally pissed off. I was totally jealous because my feelings are growing towards her, and the worst it gets when I see a guy grouping up on her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't want somebody grouping your girlfriend.
No. When they group, that's
when
not
good.
When they
group a woman, that's hard to watch somebody grouping someone else. You don't want none of that.
Stupid redneck racist guy, he's aware he's in a competition. He's a contestant along with these other guys who are trying to do the same thing as him, right?
I'm not sure. I'm really not, because in the pre-elimination moments,
mm-hmm.
when everyone's nerves are running high, I think he's a little confused about the whole thing and what he has to do in order to win.
These mixed emotions are just coming and they're bubbling. I don't know how to react. I'm so in love with Tila. I will take these guys out single-handed, one by one.
I don't think the purpose of the competition is to murder the other people.
Yeah.
I think you're supposed to show your good side, and she chooses you.
Oh, he's right. Going to push it too far and get kicked off, isn't he?
Well, Kevin, I hate to break it to you.
Oh, he's my favorite moron.
But Tila Tequila started to get so nervous about racist cowboy redneck dude that she does not give him a key to her heart at the end of the show.
Oh.
She boots off one of the boring lesbians, and then our boy, redneck racist cowboy guy.
Oh, he's gone.
And racist redneck cowboy guy does not take kindly to being asked to leave the building.
That's shocking.
After the news has been broken to him, he's got some things to say to set things straight.
All right, hon. I want to set something straight to you. I'm falling in love for you. I fell in love for you. I have to speak my piece. I'm going to start from the biggest boy to the least boy.
And he proceeds to go through everybody else and explain to her why they are wrong for her.
Wow.
This person's a liar. This person's a snake in the grass. This lesbian don't know whether she wants a penis or a vagina. This person's bad. This person's bad.
He's crazy.
That's all because he fell in love for her.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Well, as you can imagine, because it is racist redneck cowboy dude, one of the guys mutters something under his breath about he should be quiet.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. What a surprise. An altercation ensues.
What? Get off me.
Hey. Oh, hey. Oh, hey.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, here we go. It's on. Race war. Race war's on, everybody. It's going down. Shit is going down.
Now, Tila's very helpful during that by going, hey.
Hey, hey.
Hey, 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 hey. I can't imagine why that didn't stop the whole thing with the hey, hey. But they break up the fight eventually, and security, MTV security, has to come in and escort redneck cowboy racist guy out of the mansion.
Aww.
He decides he is not going.
Yes.
And they're literally dragging him out the door.
I'm not leaving, though. No, dude, no, this is she's with the wrong guys. Hey, Taylor, wait till you come out and you see the video and you see all these are acting. You'll see who's the true man. You'll see what's up, Tila. You really will. You'll see what's going on.
Okay.
As they drag him out the front door, he's screaming. Screaming.
Wow.
That she with the wrong guys.
Does he honestly think she's going to go, you know what, he's fighting that pretty hard. Maybe he does love me. Let's have him back.
He might have a point. He might have a point. Well, redneck racist cowboy dude's outside the house now, and I guess all the drama's over. Oh, no, wait. Redneck racist cowboy dude comes running back, starts pounding on the doors and the windows.
Yes.
Tila! Tila! Tila!
Surprisingly,
wow.
She don't let him back in.
Are you kidding? I would have thought that would have won her heart.
I don't know why.
This is so much like those guys who get fired, and then to prove that they're actually stable and good employees, they go back and shoot up the office.
That's right. Well, as you can imagine, racist cowboy redneck dude is exhausted
sure.
after the end of this night. So let's go down on the field for a little post-game interview.
She's going to be with the wrong guy. She has to see what's going on. She has to see all them fake-ass I'm sorry, Mom. I'm cussing. She has to see that
Tell me he's not going to get his own show on MTV now.
Oh. Let's throw in another one just in case he's listening. He throws in another one there just in case.
Awesome.
That might put over the top.
Oh, that guy's gone now.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I think they'd be hard-pressed to keep away. They're going to find him lurking in the bushes or something next week.
They
I don't
are,
know.
Aren't they? Wow.
But he's crazy.
Yeah.
He is insane.
We could probably get a hold of him if you want, LaQuisha.
I would like to because I want to ask him a good question about his career choices. Yeah, I forgot to mention, he's an elementary school teacher back home.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Wow.
So shut up, cowboy racist redneck dude.
Thank you, LaQuisha.
Bye-bye.
You have a new blog.
What?
You have a new blog is what you're saying.
I'm torn because hope springs eternal that if Bean has another outlet for his minutiae,
uh-huh.
that he won't inflict it upon us.
Yeah, that's not the case.
But I thought that last time, and it just almost doubled his appetite for minutiae. We're getting
Bean's blog, Bean's blog, Bean's blog.
Remember this feature?
Bean's blog, Bean's blog, Bean's blog. Bean's blog, Bean's blog, no one gives a fuck.
All right, we don't really have time to get into this because Ralph has Britney news, Dog the Bounty Hunter news, so much other showbiz stuff we have to get to. But it has been, guys, a year.
Right.
In fact, a year today since my blog went away.
Wow.
How is that possible?
It's been a year.
How the
I know.
Time flies.
And you miss it. And you miss it, right, Lisa?
You guys remember his blog? His blog was pictures of his dog.
Right. Pictures of 7-Elevens.
Pictures of 7-Elevens and recaps of the Seattle Mariners baseball season.
That was pretty
that
much
was,
it.
Oh, yeah. Pluto updates.
Occasionally Pluto update, yeah.
Well, it's back, and I appreciate your support, and I know that you'll all be joining me on this wonderful adventure through stronglywordedletter.com, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, stronglywordedletter.com.
You actually are doing something with a website?
I had a domain name laying around, so I thought, sure, what the heck.
You've got 100 domain names. How do you choose just one?
I did put up a new blog, and I knew you guys would be pleased. I knew you'd be supportive, as all friends are.
Now, by blog, is this like the last one, or are these all strongly worded letters? Because that would
a theme?
Make sense.
No, I mean, I may include some strongly worded letters. Believe me, this is the time of year I write my annual letters to the newspapers and newsrooms of radio stations and television stations to remind them that it's daylight saving time, not saving. So I will put that strongly worded letter up. But in general, it will be, it'll be Tater Tot and Pluto, mostly, I think.
Well, that's Bean's blog, Bean's blog, no one gives a fuck.
Well, that's hardly strongly worded letter.
Right. I mean, it doesn't even make sense.
It's called beansbs.com.
Just dumb pictures.
Stupid recap.
Dogs
that I
no
ought to
one
use.
Gives a rat's ass about. No. .com.
Bean, it is a great domain name that you should use for strongly worded letters.
Yeah, each week put up a new strongly worded letter, but not pictures of you holding a Slurpee in front of a 7-Eleven in Kenosha.
Unless you're upset about it.
I will incorporate some strongly worded letters into it.
You're missing our
no,
point
it's
here.
An it's an umbrella name. I'm saying
why
it will.
You
yeah.
Do,
it,
why don't you do beansblog.com or some BS like that, and then okay. do something with strongly worded letters where people can send you complaint letters, whatever. You could do a whole site with that.
Right.
It's too late for that. It's up.
No,
and
it's
now,
not.
It's too late.
It's too late. Nothing can be changed.
Not on the internet. No. The internet's like carving in stone. Once it's there, you just forget about it. You need to sandblast it off your screen.
The cement has hardened.
Exactly.
There's nothing you can do.
So yeah, so that's wow. that's what's going on at my house.
Bean dropped that bomb on us during the last song.
Yeah,
how about?
I thought
that?
You'd be pleased.
Very, and yet no. Nobody spends more time on the internet and understands it less than Bean.
That's true.
You know why? Stronglywordedletter.com. He really felt like he should do something with, so he did. He put up interesting pumpkin facts.
Right
at that site,
and other guys named Gene.
It's 8:57 on the Kevin and Bean Show. What was going on with Britney's interview with Ryan Seacrest? We'll tell you all about that after the news at 9. Now Ralph's got other showbiz news. Good morning, Ralph.
If I went to pumpkinfacts.com and saw a bunch of strongly worded letters about like restaurant chains and the use of savings instead of saving when talking about the daylight saving,
right?
I would be incensed. I would say, where are my pumpkin facts?
Yeah.
And yet the converse is true in Bean's world.
Yeah.
Already getting complaints. First day back, already getting complaints.
Well, you
wow.
should. It has
that's
nothing to do with the website.
All right, I'm going to write a strongly worded letter about this conversation. Then will you be happy?
Yes. When randomblog.com opens up, let me know.
Stupid facts about dumb things.
Before I get to the celebrity news, how about some tickets to see the red carpet world premiere of a little movie I like to call Beowulf? Yes, Beowulf. It's not just a dusty old medieval piece of literature anymore. Now it's an up-to-date, high-tech thriller.
When was that book written? Around 700 AD or something it's crazy? I mean, it's like one of the oldest things we've got, right?
Exactly. It is the oldest adventure tale known to man,
okay.
I believe.
And
it
now
is.
It's a cartoon with Angelina Jolie.
It's not a cartoon.
It's a live-action.
It's live-action, but it has been
cartoonized.
Computer graphic.
Iced.
Lee.
Altered. Dealt with.
Okay. Yes, exactly. It is Ray Winstone and Angelina Jolie. Anthony Hopkins also stars. If you'd like to see the red carpet world premiere of this film in Westwood, California on November the 5th, first five callers right now at 1-800-520-1067 gets a pair of tickets. It's just that simple. And ask Dave to say the name of the movie for you if you want to chuckle when you get him on the phone. It's good times. Hey, Dave, what did I win tickets to? What is that movie again?
Beowulf.
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 I can't say L's.
I can't say woof. Oh, dog. Dog, what are you doing?
Oh, dog.
Dog, the bounty hunter, Dwayne Chapman, in trouble yesterday when the story broke, thanks to the National Enquirer, of an argument he was having with his son, Tucker, about Tucker's girlfriend, Monique Shinnery, who happens to be an African-American. Someone got the phone call on tape and released that tape to the National Enquirer, who published a written transcript of it. But we have a little of the tape right here. Here is Dog talking about how he might get in trouble with his language around Tucker's African-American girlfriend.
You're so hot.
No, I don't think... No, that's Pat O'Brien, I think. I don't think that's Dog.
Here's Dog, sorry.
It's not because she's black. It's because we use the word sometimes here. I'm not going to take a chance ever in life of losing everything I've worked for 30 years because some nigger heard us say nigger and turned us into the Enquirer magazine.
Which yeah, is ironic.
Exactly what happened.
What happened exactly with this call.
I don't know how you come back from that one. I don't know how you explain that away.
Yeah. I love the way he just said, look. We use the N-word here sometimes. I can't control it. I got no control over that. It's part of the bounty hunter business, really. We cannot alter our behavior. We have to use the N-word. And if she overhears us, then we're all in trouble.
I mean, at least Mel Gibson could say he was drunk.
Right.
Dog didn't even have that.
No, he don't.
Who's the man now, dog?
That's what everyone's asking themselves.
Civil rights leaders have protested to A&E asking that they dump the show.
Of course
and
they have.
Sure enough, this morning in the New York Times, it's reported that the cable channel has suspended production of the series until a later date, which may be, I think, the 12th of never. They're going to be starting production again.
What are Beth and those gigantic knockers going to do now?
Stripper.
Yeah.
Got to go into stripping. Britney Spears is in trouble. Again. This time has nothing to do with her kids. On her new CD, Blackout, inside she's got a photograph of her posing seductively on the lap of an attractive young priest. Well, the Catholic League is upset, calling it a bottom-of-the-barrel stunt from a girl who is crashing and not even allowed to bring up her own children because she's not responsible enough.
Ralph, when will the Catholic League learn that no one would care if they didn't say anything?
Yeah.
They're the ones who turn it into a firestorm and get her the publicity she hoped for?
The Catholics, I really feel, sometimes they feel left out on the whole righteous indignation parade, you know? The blacks are always upset, and the Muslims are upset, and the Jews are upset. Hey, we better get upset about something quick. So they really look hard, high and low, to find something to be upset
about. And then they act like a priest would be interested in a girl.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. Plus, they should worry about the priest, because she's sitting on his lap. Imagine what's happening to that poor priest.
It's probably not a
He may never walk again.
Probably isn't a priest.
Oh.
Yeah.
I see what you're getting at.
What's with the poll?
What is with the poll, indeed?
That's a great question.
Halle Berry says that her relationship with her father is much better now.
Since
he died.
Pregnant?
Oh. Oh, good.
Yeah. She says since her father's died, the two are able to have a much healthier relationship.
Okay.
She said she has no regrets about not embracing him while he was still on Earth because he did a lot of damage to her, her mother, and her sister. However, now she goes through meditation and visualizes going to a gazebo where the two of them sit and talk all day about things they should have said while they were alive. And the relationship now is great. Oh. Hey, you're crazy!
Okay.
Hey, Hallie, you're nuts! You're talking to a dead guy! And you think now it's okay!
And you get along well with him.
Not the way to go! Most people shoot for the opposite, try to make amends before the whole death thing kicks in. Turns out that's pretty permanent.
Maybe Dog was right.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, stop it. What is wrong?
I'm just.
What?
Such a.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry I did that. I'm embarrassed that I did that. I did a bad thing.
Yeah, by the way, it's funny. The Dog was worried when he confessed to his pastor about how upset he was that he was going to be lumped in with Don Imus because of his comments. Nope. And I thought to myself, Don Imus made a bad joke about nappy-headed hoes. You called abroad the N-word.
Right.
They're not going to lump you in with Imus.
Although he is a bounty hunter. Let's not forget that. He's not exactly our clergy.
Right. We shouldn't be looking to him for as a...
He's a bounty hunter.
...as a moral example, that's for sure. That's true. He does...
Come on.
He does basically kick in doors
right.
for a living. So, you know,
deals with the worst of every type of race.
I agree. And here's a little game I like to call News, Not News.
Hmm. Okay.
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 CNN today announced that they have
Not news!
They have laid off 7 producers from the Anderson Cooper TV show.
Oh.
That's not the news. News? They had 7 producers to do that show? Have you ever seen that show? It's him talking into a camera behind a desk.
Yeah.
7 producers.
It does seem like a lot.
Yeah. We got like 1.5.
Who's the half, Lightning?
I'm not saying.
All right.
I don't want anybody's feelings to get hurt.
Okay. Yeah. I don't either.
Orange County.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Jenny McCarthy, the fully bosomed actress, girlfriend of Jim Carrey.
Oh.
She is 35 years old today. Toni Collette. From The Sixth Sense and from Muriel's Wedding and from Little Miss Sunshine, 35 years old today. Anthony Kiedis from the Red Hot Chili Peppers celebrates his 45th birthday. Anthony, how are you going to celebrate today?
Wishamalamadingdong, Sethafrasa Tallahassee, Wicked Dicky Dang, California.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Excellent.
He's 45. Rick Allen, drummer for Def Leppard, turns 44 years old today. One of his arms is 22, though.
Is that right?
Yeah, I'm not going to tell you which one. And Larry Flint, publisher of The Hustler Empire. Is 63 years old today. How do you think Larry Flint celebrates a special occasion when he's got naked weirdos running around all the time and he's rolling around a solid gold wheelchair? How do you think he marks a special occasion? What does he do then?
That's a great question.
The Dirty Fonzie.
The Dirty Fonzie.
That's what it is.
Right.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Every once in a while, something comes along and makes me think, I really need to get out of the business because I don't know what I'm doing. And this is one of those things. Apparently, Britney Spears called Ryan Seacrest, and it was a hell of an interview yesterday.
Wait, what, I don't understand. What makes you want to get out of the business because Britney called Ryan?
The quality of this interview
yeah.
makes me realize that I'm just an amateur playing in an
oh,
adult
Oh, I see
world.
What you're saying. Because clearly he knows how to get the good stuff out of the guests. I
That's
understand
correct,
what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay. So, I thought it was our attempt to recreate it with the Kevin Bean players because when I hear that bit, that's what makes me want to get out of this business.
No, that's what we're going to do now is we have the transcript. We have the Kevin Bean players standing by.
We take a script and we read it. We make it come to life for you. The Kevin and Bean players, here we come to read for you.
You.
Okay, now that makes me want to get out of this.
All right, here's the thing about Britney. We've made mention of this a few times since her album came out, which I guess was what? Blackout dropped this last Tuesday or something.
Yes.
And is selling very, very well, by the way, on the strength of her big number one single, Gimme More. I mean, she really has made a record that people so far seem to like. But she has done none of the traditional publicity. This, as far as I know, is the first and only interview that she has given where she even talks about the new album coming out. And how rare is that these days when usually you've got a campaign for months leading up to an album coming out to make sure there's enough publicity for it?
But that's why she put so much effort into this one interview, because she wanted to make sure that her one statement really said something.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's check on the Kevin and Bean players and make sure we have everybody before we begin. We have the transcript in front of us. Do we have who's playing the part of Ryan Seacrest today?
That would be Dave, the King of Mexico.
Hey,
hi, Dave.
Hi. What's going on, guys?
All right.
Is that
Ryan Seacrest?
Okay.
Seacrest out.
And assistant producer Alex Superhore, you're going to be Brittany as usual?
Oh, yes, my favorite.
Now, there were two people at home with Brittany. One was Sam.
Hey, yeah.
That's Psycho Mike. He's going to be playing Sam. And then there was Allie, who apparently is her, like, assistant or something. She was there, too. And who's going to be playing that? Miss Cleo?
Yes, that's right.
All right, that's our intern, Miss Cleo.
And Ryan Seacrest, of course, has Ellen Kay, who's a leftover from the Rick D show, on with him in the studio. And Lisa, you're going to be doing the part of Ellen Kay, right?
That's right, Rick. I mean, Ryan.
Okay, so this is verbatim. This is word for word how it was done on their air. And I think you're going to see the quality of this as we begin with Dave, the King of Mexico, as Ryan Seacrest.
Okay, while we're on the air on Kiss FM, and yesterday was the release of your new album, what did you do yesterday? How'd your day go?
It was cool. It was kind of laid back, really.
Yeah, and did you celebrate?
No. Which, we watched movies. That was about it.
Your album comes out after all this time, and the drama that we see in the news, and you just watched a movie?
Yeah.
What did you watch?
We forgot the name. It just said Scary Movie. It put us all to sleep at like 3 in the morning.
Oh, Scary Movie. Did you at least get takeout to go home, or did you go out or do anything like that earlier?
No, we ate Famous cookies.
Oh, yeah, and fried chicken.
Fried chicken and cookies? Well, yeah, Brittany, I've seen your diet just because I happen to watch the television, so I know you've been eating some good food recently.
Yeah.
I mean, we get to see all the drive-thrus.
Now, let me stop you right there, Cast. Is that Ryan Seacrest basically making fun of her for being fat? Because that's how I read it.
I think so.
Because I got to give him points for that.
I do, too.
Yeah, somebody needs to say, what a surprise, fat ass sitting at home eating fried chicken on the couch watching TV.
But after he says, I mean, we get to see all the drive-thrus, there was, and we don't have time for this, about a five-minute pause where nothing was said.
Oh.
Nothing. Not a word from anyone. So now we'll cut out that five-minute pause and pick up with Sam.
Hello?
Hello?
You there?
Hello?
You there?
Yeah.
We're on the conference call.
Are we on speaker? 918, Kiss FM. Are you guys there?
Yeah.
Okay, so Brittany, today, now the album's been out for a day, what will you do for the rest of the week? Do you have to do appearances? Will you promote the album? What you going to be doing?
This is it.
This is it. This is the promotion.
They promoted it on air with Ryan Seacrest.
We don't have to promote anymore.
Okay, so they go out and they start talking about the new CD, and Ryan asks her about the single.
Okay, and Gimme More. This is the first single at the top of the charts. How did its Britney bitch line come about?
Well, oh, God. The producer told me to say it, y'all. I didn't do it. The guy who wrote the song was like, do this here, or whatever. And, you know, that's how it came out.
That's what she said. What a wow. moron.
She is certainly in control of her artistry, isn't she?
So then Ryan starts talking about the court case and the kid custody.
Do you feel like you're doing everything you can for your kids?
What?
Do you feel like you're doing everything you can for your kids?
Oh, God. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And how often will you see them?
Well, that's like all in the court and stuff like that. My lawyers and all that
stuff. Hey, let's talk about fun stuff.
Okay, Sam. What do you want to talk about? Let's talk about Tony Romo. Are you dating him?
Who?
Let's talk about tonight. Are you dressing up?
You guys are breaking up a little bit.
This is, by the way, yesterday on Halloween, so that's what he's talking about.
Are you dressing up for Halloween?
Oh, you mean Halloween.
Yeah, what are you going to be for Halloween?
Sam's going as Britney Spears.
Okay, now that's the quality of the people that Britney's hanging out with, by the way, first of all. Now things get really, really weird because apparently Britney, what, hands the phone over to her assistant, Allie, who's played by the part of our new intern.
Yes.
All right, so we're live. It's 9:23 right now. Britney Spears' house is linked up live here. Allie, her friend Sam, and Britney. Ask Britney what she wants to say to her fans, since a lot of them are listening right now and have bought this album.
You know what? She's actually ran to the other room, but I know she wanted to say thanks and let them all know she really appreciates everything.
So this is what happened. Ryan says, do you want to thank your fans? Phone was sitting on the floor. Britney had walked away in the middle of the conversation. So her assistant picks up the phone and tries to say thank you to the fans from her, and then there's a big pause.
Does she want to say it herself?
She's in the shower.
And out.
Oh, my God.
She put the phone down and went into the shower in the middle of the conversation.
That's some ADD right there.
No,
it's worse than that.
She's awesome.
I expect that from Kevin, but somebody like Britney, you think could hold it together long enough to have one phone conversation.
Dare you.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Los Angeles Kings taking on the San Jose Sharks at Staples Center. That's going to be Saturday night. K-Rock is going to be there with a Striker tailgate party that you are invited to. That's a Striker tailgate party, Psycho Mike.
Striker has a tail!
Tail.
Sorry, little late.
If you don't win tickets now for Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew at 1-800-520-1067, you can order your tickets and be included in the party. Luke Robitaille will be in attendance. There's food and drinks and prizes and lots of fun. LAKings.com/KROCK or call 1-888-KINGS-LA.
All right, let's begin with Jake in Chino. Good morning, Jake.
What to do, nephew?
What to do?
I'm calling about Chris Angel on Phenomenon last night.
Oh, I didn't see it. Go ahead.
What's that?
Go ahead. I didn't see it. Go ahead.
No, he almost got into a fight with a wannabe magician because pretty much he told him, a wannabe magician, that it was his pure crap and it was as horrible as his act.
Right. That seems to be his role, Chris Angel. Is
he's
just
everyone.
There to tell everyone they suck.
The guy pretended to, or purports to be a mentalist, right? He's a psychic.
Uh-huh.
So Chris Angel got in his face and said, I'll give you $1 million right now if you can tell me what's in this envelope, what I've written in this envelope right now. And they start screaming back and forth, and the host had to get between them. And separate them.
What the hell?
The host is like, look, this is a live show. It's no place for a fight. This is a live show.
Yeah.
This is actually happening, people.
What's good about a live show if they're not going to get in a fight?
Exactly.
I mean, what's the point if it's all scripted? But Chris is just, I mean, come on.
Dude, he's MMA.
He's modern day Houdini.
He would put him down, man.
Like Chris could do it, by the way, if the guy asked him what was in
of
the envelope.
There's
no possible way.
Works.
That's what I'm saying. That's why he's a douchebag.
We knew he was a douchebag before this ABC show, but now just more people are finding out about it.
If you get the chance, I don't know if we've talked about this yet. I don't believe we have, but we talked about it in the office. Go to YouTube and look up the Uri Geller chunk on YouTube where he is on the Johnny Carson show.
That is so funny. That's the other judge on that show.
Right. This is the dude who supposedly bends metal with his mind, his spoons and whatnot. And Carson brings out his own spoons and metal and stuff for this guy to bend and says, go ahead, do what you do. And it's just great to watch him just flounder
just
him and haw. He just goes nuts.
I'm not feeling very strong.
I don't feel strong today.
It doesn't, Carson. I mean, he tries to play the nice guy, too.
He tries.
Like, well, the monologue doesn't always work either. I mean,
yeah,
sometimes
right.
You just have an off night.
He's clearly patronizing
me, asking me to do all these things, bend spoons. And Carson's like, well, yeah, that's what you do.
Isn't that what you do? All right. I don't know. Philip, good morning.
What it do, nephews?
What it do?
What it do?
I had the worst Halloween yesterday, man.
Okay. Aww. What happened?
I was supposed to be a gangster yesterday, which I shaved my whole head, which I never would ever do that, and I borrowed my nephew's lowrider.
Right.
And I was hitting the switches in Fontana, and I got pulled over, and they impounded his car because they had no insurance.
You get pulled over for what, though? Because you were hitting the switches?
Yeah, at the intersection, yeah.
Well, first of all, you got to call AIS, and they'll hook you up with some cheap insurance. You can't believe how much money you'll save per month, first of all.
A month?
Exactly. And second of all, how'd you explain that to your friend when you came home from the party and his car was missing?
I couldn't explain it. He was pissed off, and I just told him, hey, it's better than getting carjacked, man. At least you get to get your car back.
That's right. At least you get to pay more money to get your car back. That's true. All right. Well done, man.
Wow.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to Katie in Sylmar. Good morning, Katie. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
It's Eddie.
Oh, Eddie. I'm sorry. Eddie, go ahead.
What are you doing, nephew?
Can you put Katie on the phone, please?
Sorry.
Well, yesterday you guys were talking about, the ghosts and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I used to live with my mom in her apartment. Her boyfriend never really liked me being there. One day we come home and find him dead. So a couple days...
Hold on a second. I got to interrupt here, Eddie.
What
are you doing right now?
He's an alcoholic.
All right. Okay, all right, but forget the story for a second. What are you doing right now that's creating so much noise it's making it impossible for us to follow your story?
Oh, I'm at work.
Oh.
I was at work, and there's a bunch of porkers, but I had them shut off already.
Okay.
All right, go ahead. Now, who died? Your mom died? What happened?
My mom's boyfriend died. He was a real bad alcoholic.
Okay.
Okay, so after that, all this kind of crazy stuff was starting to happen. Like, all these kind of plates were falling in the kitchen and making all this kind of noise.
I heard him a second ago.
And nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was the other day. Anyway,
wow.
And nothing.
So you think it was a haunting? You think it was the ghost of the ex-boyfriend?
He never wanted me there. He was always kicking me out when he was alive.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he left, it was just all these kind of crazy things would happen. And the shower would go on. You could hear somebody in the shower. You would go in the shower, and nothing's there. Nobody's there.
Well, that's creepy.
Yeah, it was good.
I can't.
Thank you for participating in the Kevin and Bean Show. Your call is important to us. Unfortunately, you can't tell a f***ing story.
Oh.
The relentless tedium of your story is making us all sick. We here at the Kevin and Bean Show would rather plunge heavy gauge sewing needles into our eyes than listen to you for one moment longer. But please continue to hold, and one of our semi-competent representatives will be on the line to give you a prize of little to no value. Once again, thank you for calling Kevin and Bean, but please never, never call us again.
Eddie was doing the best he could, man. Yeah, come on.
A little harsh.
Hey, he tried. I didn't have anything to do with it.
Let's try Katie. I think that's who you meant to go through anyway on line 4. Katie has got a story that I think people will find interesting.
Hey, Katie.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Katie, is Eddie there, please?
Unfortunately, no. Oh. I should avoid that.
What's going on?
So last night I was passing out candy, and we have this new rash in the valley of icky moms that dress like their children and also have bags for candy.
No.
And so 7-year-old girl will be a slutty pirate, 45-year-old mom slutty pirate as well.
Oh.
Don't ding. They don't need the candy. It's hideous.
Yeah, they...
Hideous. It's super, super icky, and it was all night.
Really? All night? You kept getting moms that were there with their little girls and they wanted candy too?
And they wanted candy too and they dressed up too. And some of the dads got smarter and put masks on. Same story.
No, the guys that put masks on were trying to hide from everybody that they were with those people.
Right.
With that woman.
That is kind of sad. I mean,
over and over again. It was heinous.
Wow.
There does come a time when it comes to trick-or-treating where you just have to accept that your time has passed and you got to hand it over and it's for the kids now. And you're just a spectator. You're not a participant. You can get dressed up like a slutty pirate and go to your own party. That's the lesson that needs to be taught here.
Yeah, apparently that's not true for a lot
of... But good work, by the way, putting these 7-year-old girls in these slutty costumes, moms.
Yeah,
that's
nice.
Good work.
That is good parenting.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk to Steve in Huntington Beach. He's calling about the exclusive hard-hitting Ryan Seacrest interview with Britney Spears that we were talking about a few minutes ago. Good morning, Steve. What it do, nephew?
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, so I wanted to just elaborate about your play that you guys gave, that it was by no stretch an exaggeration of what actually transpired on that interview. I mean, I went to TMZ and checked it out. And, I mean, when Ryan Seacrest made a statement about how her diet was horrible and whatever, there was a dead silence. There was nobody talking. It was hilarious. And
correct me if I'm wrong, but way longer than anyone would be comfortable with. Wouldn't someone just say, Moving on, or something.
Anything?
Just say something to know that the radio station is still on the air.
Yeah, I mean, there was an effort by Ryan to finally say, you know, hey, it's 9:18 or whatever.
Right.
I mean, it was really nothing. It was dead air, and it was
as bad as it
actually sounded like when I was like in sixth grade calling one of my girlfriends, and you know, it's like we're all giggling stupid, and we just had no idea what was going on. I mean, it was just kids talking. It was.
As bad as Ryan is, and he's not good, don't get us wrong, but Brittany, wow.
Impossible to interview because she won't answer questions she doesn't want to answer. Or she literally
I don't think she could.
Tried to flee the interview. She put the phone on the floor and jumped in the shower. That's how much she didn't want to do that interview.
And for Britney Spears to take a shower, they really have to really motivate her somehow. You really got to press her buttons.
That's a great point. All right, let's close with Arthur in L.A. He's on line three. Speaking of giggling, I think this is the kind of story we all need to send us off into the day.
Hey, Arthur.
Hey, what'd it do?
What'd it do?
Bean. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's getting very close. Hey, it's November. Come on.
Well, it's like 3 weeks until we can break out the Butterball hotline.
All right. I went to the doctor, and I had a rectal exam, and the doctor giggled once she shoved her fingers on my butt.
Dude, that was no doctor. I guarantee you.
Yo, butt ain't made for that!
That is the best told story ever, guys.
That was a good example.
He started with, I went to the doctor, rectal exam, she giggled. Boom, we had the punchline within about 6 seconds.
Yep, well done.
Although I agree with Ralph, he thought he was going to the doctor, but if he had to leave cash on a dresser or anything like that, and a small Asian woman took him in the back, no. I just tell you, not a doctor.
I'm thinking some just really funny broad just wandered in from the waiting room and put on a smock and just was standing there. Oh, what's your throat? You need a rectal exam. Bend over.
No wonder your behind is bleeding.
All right.
Well done, Arthur. Enjoy the Kings this Saturday night with Stryker. Say hi to his tail for us. I want to thank our many, many guests on today's Kevin and Bean Show. And, of course, I'm talking about Slash from Velvet Revolver. His new book is just called Slash, and it's available everywhere. You can meet Slash at the Borders in Torrance on Monday night starting at 7 o'clock for a book signing, and then Book Soup at 6 o'clock next Wednesday. Cool guy. And the book, talk about a guy who was there, for one of the great rock and roll stories of all time, being through Guns N' Roses for all those years. Sounds like a fascinating read, too.
I am very interested in playing my guitar someplace today, Lightning. Do you know where I might go?
Why, yes, Kevin. Thank you. There's a brand new guitar center opening up in West L.A., corner of Westwood and Pico, right by the Westwood Pavilion.
Lightning, you play guitar?
I don't, but I'm going to learn today. Yes.
Okay.
There's bands. There's tons of giveaways. As you know, Guitar Center, favorites of ours, and it's going to be great festivities tonight starting around 7 o'clock. Corner of Westwood and Pico, brand new Guitar Center. Come on out.
You know, the Guitar Center offers a lot more than just guitars.
They do. Drums and amps and lighting and DJ equipment.
Yeah, so don't let the name fool you, people. I bought a cymbal there once.
Okay. Hey, Ralph, I just want to clarify. Did you think that was too fast? That Lightning went too fast?
I didn't think he was giving the Guitar Center its props.
All right. Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean Show. We have Rich Eisen on the program from the NFL Network. He's got a new book out called Total Access, A Journey to the Center of the NFL Universe.
How'd you get a job from book?
I don't know.
Oh. He's got a new job. I thought he left the network.
We have Ask a Dog Trainer tomorrow.
Yes. Oh,
fantastic.
Cesar Milan, how do you think that's going to go?
It's going to go terrible.
Because it's not you?
No, because dogs are Lord for my life. You have to be the alpha dog. You must let them know that you are going for a walk. They're lucky enough to come along.
Yeah, I don't know what that
means. Our trainer, you can understand what the F he's saying. That's why we're bringing our guy in.
Well, because he's American, for God's
sake. That's right. He's not the damn Ferner.
Oh, eat me, puto.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, Movie Beat, a whole bunch of stuff tomorrow morning.
By the way, tremendous response from the K-Rock listeners to my new blog at stronglywordedletter.com. I just want you to know there's a lot of love in the room. None of it's in the room that I happen to be in right now, but there's a lot of love out there on the other side of the radio. So
not so much.
Once again, I am amazed at the level of blithering idiocy that issues from your pie hole.
The most perfect woman in the whole world ever, Kat Corbett, is up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock, including new music from The Killers. It's called Shadow Play. Also, 30 Seconds to Mars, just for you, Mike.
That was kind of nice. That's all right. Let's not encourage him to keep doing that.
Mike was afraid he was going to get smacked in the knee.
He should be. See, it's working. It's working.
It's just like training a dog. You got to punish him when they do the bad behavior and reward the good behavior.
I'm going to ask our dog trainers tomorrow what to do about him.
Good idea.
Good.
I think some sort of a rolled up newspaper or something I'd be handy to have. Also, Incubus, Sublime, Linkin Park, Green Day, and more right after this on K-Rock.